Hello.
Hello, 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 hello.
Happy Chinonica.
Yeah. And as I saw someone else point out, tomorrow is a sound engineer day.
Oh, okay.
Or sound check day, National Sound Check Day.
Is that for everything?
It's 1-2-1-2-1-2.
1-2.
Because it's, you know, 12-12-12.
Yeah.
Check 1-2-1-2. Check 1-2-1-2.
1-2-1. Why don't they do 3? Why is it always 1-2?
I normally do. I usually go like little rogue. And I go check 1-2-3. 3-3-3-4. Check, check. See, there's my mic check.
Okay.
That's how I roll.
All right.
So I just now watched, well, I guess I should save this for later. Never mind.
I don't care.
Whatever.
Care. I had to deal with like snarky kids over the weekend.
Why?
Well, it was my mom's 75th birthday. This is funny. So,
and all of your mom's friends are snarky.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, those hipsters. No, some of them,
hipsters.
Like my niece was there and she's 10, and a friend of my mom's was, you know, her kid is 10. And it was so funny. Everybody had little Kindles and stuff. So I always ask, cause I know the answer, but I like to hear it. I'm like, what are you reading? And I always get this, you know, there's a book on here, whatever. No real books, no real anything. My mom's friend's daughter just looks at me like with disdain and says, "We don't read books on these."
Well, I have several tech manuals on mine.
Do you read them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you're not a 10-year-old.
Some may argue with you.
Yeah, all right.
So
your wife might argue with that.
How do you feel? And let me double check my schedule. But how do you feel about doing Help Me Rocks next Wednesday?
Oh, that sounds good. It could be holiday,
Christmas,
everything,
Christmas.
Holiday sex, whatever.
Holiday sex. That's the only time I ever get sex. Serve's here.
Oh my god, I beat Serve.
But
here.
But he's not talking. Either that, or he's on mute.
Oh, he doesn't want to talk. I'm on the big computer tonight because I have to work on my Christmas card. I haven't worked on it.
Oh, we did ours. Just got it today. The photo. We did photo thing.
Uh-huh.
Family photo. Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not doing that. I never do that. I put my picture on the back.
Serve, are you there? Serve. Check, check, sir. check, mic check. Oh, I'm going to have to figure out what's wrong with this.
Come in, sir.
With the headset. Check. That's what he said. Check. Check 1-2, 1-2-3-4. 1-2-3-4. Check. Check. Here. Maybe if we add this person too.
Oh, no.
maybe this will help motivate you. Serve.
Scott.
I'm just going to read what Sir writes all night. Oh, I hear all you all. No need to go nuclear.
Boom.
That's right.
Too late. And in fact, I'll read it in the least amount of inflection as I can do. Too late.
It's just...
Computer voice.
Are we having a problem with Serve?
We don't have a problem with Serve. Yeah.
So Scott,
did he try to use his microphone as a bong?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably not though.
Yes, Rox.
Oh, so how do you like that? The Black Phoenix.
Vaporizer.
It was Druid and Bard, right?
Yes, hold on. Let me refresh my memory because I have them here.
Do you ever wear those at the bars?
At the bars?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
In What? Oh, you didn't smell them, Scott?
No, no, I did. No.
Yeah,
sir,
I can hear you. I can hear you, sir.
I mean, I don't go to bars.
You don't?
What?
I can hear you, sir.
Wait, hold on. Let's get sir taken care of, then we'll talk about the perfume.
Am I not coming in very loudly?
No, I hear you fine. I hear you.
All right.
Let me yell, though. Let me yell some more.
Okay.
I need a pencil. Does anybody have a pencil I can borrow?
I do.
Off.
You have to come and get it, though.
All right, I'll be right there.
Oh. The druid is obviously...
Just toss it across the table.
Very woodsy. So it's a little woodsy for me, but it depends on how you like that sort of thing. I do like the bard. It is
how
very...
How do you like your wood?
Hard. But the bard is very nice. It's got like that bay rum and stuff in there.
Oh, bay.
So it but it's very it does come off as fairly masculine. So I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, John.
Oh! Yes.
Who from the Neat Geek was running the camera at the film or at the Need Coffee Fun Fest this year? Was it
this year?
Yeah,
this
was
year.
It Ron.
Ron did. I'm still trying to figure out what kind of hardwood that Scott likes. Is it like a birch? Are you into birch?
Beach? Walnut.
A walnut. Okay.
Oh, rocks.
Ron probably was. Bob may have been. I'm not positive.
Aaron's trying to figure out who was in the front.
That was for 2011, though.
No, 2012.
Yeah. No, 2011. That's what he's trying to figure out. I already emailed him.
You emailed him? You replied?
Yeah. Because
he was bitching that you don't ever reply. Oh, and I was like, yeah, that's John. He never replies.
That's what his wife says. John never replies.
I replied. I talked to him via Twitter.
Okay, whatever. Rox, do you remember last
week? So, anything
week
else you want to talk about there, sir? You
were talking about Storage Wars.
Well,
one of the guys is suing them for doing what you said before was
permanently or just a visit?
About seeding the.
Wait, stop.
How about cherry wood? You think he's a big fan of cherry wood?
Let's finish this.
He probably is a big fan of cherry wood.
Apple wood.
Are we done?
Okay. Who's suing who?
Chestnut?
Dave Hester is suing Storage Wars, and he's accusing them of seeding. Let me see if I can find the article.
Oh my god!
Of seeding the whatchamacallit, the
oak
storage units with stuff to make them more exciting.
I'd guess elm.
I thought elm was soft.
I have a question.
Yes. Well,
has there ever been a Storage Wars where they opened it up and it was very obviously someone had gone to the trouble of making it an exact duplicate of the storage area in Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, that'd be
I would
awesome.
Love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a web video for you. Or for anybody out there that wants to steal that
so
idea.
I don't think so because they are different production companies. And I think if they showed it, they would have to pay the studio that made Silence of the Lambs. They probably, even if they did, they probably wouldn't show it on air.
You could. Yeah. All right. I don't think he was serious, though, Scott.
Actually, yes, I was quite serious. I have never been more serious
well, the thing
in my entire life.
Actually,
I like
teak. He's got a point because.
I do?
Me, I mean, yeah. No, well, no.
First time for everything.
Oh, you know what? Teak is a softwood, isn't it?
No. Teak is a very dense hardwood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, right. No, hold on. Sorry, I was eating a New York State apple, and that confuses me. the thing is the show cobbles, you know, these storage units. It's not like you walk in and there's like, I don't know, somebody's dirty laundry and stuff. You never see that. You never see the nasty just people throwing garbage into a storage unit. So and they possibly can duplicate that storage with the car, with the dead head and everything. And it could be a makeup head and whatever. And the person that can win that is actually Barry. And that would be really interesting.
Let me try that.
Well, my thing that I always wondered is, why weren't these people who had units that were about to expire go in before it expired and clean out all the important stuff? You see what I mean?
Okay.
And then why are they leaving all this
bad links?
No,
you give links a bad name.
The woman I talked to said they spend 3 months contacting these people. 3 months. Because basically they're renters. It's right. Almost like a house. So it takes 3 months to evict somebody. So some people just sort of walk away from stuff. She actually had an incident where there was crystal meth in the storage unit.
Supposed to keep your drugs in the storage unit.
Right, yeah.
Okay, hold on, John.
What?
We just mentioned crystal meth.
Yeah, and?
And he doesn't keep it in his storage unit. We've been over this.
Why would he?
I don't know how many times this topic has to come up on this podcast. I forbid it anymore! Widge, do you concur?
I concur! We all know that you have a meth problem, and you're dealing with it!
Dealing as in dealing out of the...
No. You don't deal out of the storage unit either, Scott. No.
I've had enough of this conversation.
Oh, my God. Rox, how is it that Scott doesn't know the rules of storage?
I don't know.
And why must he constantly bring this up?
I try.
Every podcast.
I edit out most of them because I don't want John to be,
Do you?
Mortified. Yeah, do
you?
I do.
I mean, because I have an aneurysm every single time he brings this up.
I know you have that is the real reason why you can't run anymore. It's because you have 15 aneurysms and they're heavy.
Yes. I can't carry them anymore. They're all from Scott's meth talk.
A bindle full of aneurysms.
Is that another Jonathan Mayberry novel?
Yeah, it's called Welcome to Meth Talk by Jonathan Mayberry.
I'm sorry, were you guys saying something?
Wow, that was a really good New York State apple.
Love you. So I didn't get the answer on poplar. Do you like poplar?
Poplar, not poplar.
Is it poplar? Poplar.
Poplar.
It's not popular.
No, it isn't. It's poplar. Not poplar. Poplar sounds some sort of like porn thing. Poplar.
Well.
Or some weird Norwegian drink.
Oh, and on that cue.
Ugh. There you go. See, I help. And speaking of help, apparently we are going to be recording a Help Me Rocks next week, right before the holidays. So if you
Yay!
Anything, please call 404-382-0769. We will be live.
Okay, so alcohol check. What is everyone drinking?
Next Wednesday.
You're drinking next Wednesday?
Yes. It's very powerful.
Where did they get these names?
It makes me see into the future.
I'm drinking one of my brother-in-law's festive beers he made. He made this.
Okay, what makes it festive?
A recipe, words? I don't know. There's probably nutmeg in it. I don't know. He called it festive. It's been, like, sitting. Because he gets, all right, here's the thing, people. He gets a kit and he bores the malt and then he puts it in a big jar. I don't know how it's done.
Wait.
He bores
the malt?
Pours the malt into a big jar.
Oh, pours the malt. I thought you said bores the malt. And I thought, well, is he him Milton's Paradise Lost?
Mm-mm. Oh my God, that would be good beer though. I guess.
Very airy. Okay.
Anyway, you get these kits and, there's a lot of waiting for beer. And he bottles it himself.
That was a Tennessee Williams play, actually. Waiting for beer.
Waiting beer. Yeah.
Yeah. It was his version of Waiting for Godot.
Ooh. Good one, John.
I prefer waiting for Godot because that implies that you could still have beer, but waiting for beer means that the beer's not there.
Oh, that is very true.
If beer was there, then waiting for beer would... Now, it could be a short play. It could be like a page long.
Well, it is Tennessee Williams, so they probably were drinking whiskey.
Something else. Yeah. They were just waiting for a
chaser, really.
Boilermaker. That's what they drink. Boilermakers.
I'm having an Irish coffee, or as I like to call it, Aaron Poole Special.
All right.
Caffeinated pool. That's what I like to call it.
Yeah, that's the magical lake that they found in my version of Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Sorry.
Don't
go swimming in that, Edmund.
Is Serve still there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Serve, what are you drinking?
Sam Adams Light.
Because he's watching his figure.
Can't go wrong with that.
Except for the light part.
So here's a question. Since I am down to
Question. Oh, you're not done. I'm sorry.
No. Yes. Since I'm down to my last bottle of Sam Adams Oktoberfest for the year.
Ooh. Oh, sad.
I know. I still have some Boulevard Oktoberfest. It's not the same. But my question is, what is there another Sam Adams that I should grab once this one's gone? Or am I done for the year?
I got a 12-pack of winter lager, and I wasn't as thrilled with that as I used to be. Mm. But they have another one out this year called, I think it's called White Christmas. And that one's very nice. It's an unfiltered wheat with some Christmas spices to it. So, I mean, it's not a hefty, hearty beer, but it's kind of nice and holiday festive that I enjoyed it. They allegedly sell it in 6-packs, but I can't find any 6-packs in the greater St. Petersburg, Tampa area. Okay. You can get some when you buy the holiday 12-pack, but you only get 2 out of 12, which is kind of a pain in the ass.
Right.
So, White Christmas, if you see that, it's worth picking up, in my opinion.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Sir, would you say that you were dreaming of a White Christmas?
No, really not.
Could you please just say it? Please just say it.
I'm dreaming of a White Christmas.
Okay, good.
Okay. But not really. Boy, my headphones are really fucked up. I can't hear you guys at all on my headphones. I only hear you on the speakers on the computer.
Now, did you go into your Skype? This is Tech Talk with John. Did you go into your Skype settings and make sure that they're set to go to the headphones?
I did, in fact.
And they say that they are?
They do, in fact.
No, they don't. But I ignored that part.
No, but why would I care about that?
I was about to say, are we sure that we trust Serve to know what he's doing when it comes to tech stuff?
Nope. That's okay. It's never stopped us before.
True.
So, Widge, what are your thoughts on the Superman trailer? Man of Steel.
You know what? I was going to bring that up.
Good. I have a complaint.
I don't.
Shocking.
Well, here's what I would say. here's what I would say. First of all, the teaser trailer I really liked because it was a really good teaser trailer. I mean, it was an excellent teaser trailer. This... I find it amusing that they're not showing us the costume because I think they know that everyone on the planet hates that fucking costume. So my only fear is that I think it looks really good. I think it seems really surprising. I think it seems slightly dark, but not in a bad non-Superman way. I don't think they're trying to turn it into Batman. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm slightly more hopeful than I was when I first saw the first like Entertainment Weekly reveal of the costume, but I'm still so afraid that that costume is going to just break me because it looks so wrong to me.
Really?
I have an issue.
And it is Star Spangled Comics number 15.
No. When After, I don't know if I'm spoiling the trailer or whatever, but after, like, Clark saves the bus of kids.
Krypton dies! Spoilers!
No. You know, and he's complaining to his dad about, you know, after somebody, like, sees him, he's like, what am I supposed to do? Let a bus full of kids die? And then, Pa Clark says, maybe?
So? Yeah. And?
I don't know. That just seemed like... Aren't the kids supposed to be like Superman's moral center?
Seemed like a guy who's conflicted and doesn't know. You didn't hear the whole story.
Well, now, Rox, to be fair, I mean, we know what you would answer. So,
yep.
But no, I actually really like that because it's basically. You're there. You're a guy who has adopted what you know is an alien child who has powers that place him far and way and above everyone else on the planet. And you're like, okay, my child could put himself into a scenario in which he could be hunted down by humanity and dissected, or a busload of kids could have died. You know, so it is a conflicted type of thing.
Right, and he's just and in my opinion, he's just looking out for, and what I'm getting off of it is that he's just looking out for his son. It's an answer that a father would make.
Say you're getting off on it?
Yes, I did say that.
All right, just wanted to make sure.
Well, that's because John is a dirty underwear fancier.
No, as a father. How do you answer that? Because, as you said, the world knows, or when the world finds out about
it. There was a father on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. The world finds out that he's who he is. His son's going to be hurt.
I don't know. I mean,
and plus we don't. Plus it's a teaser. Plus we don't. I mean,
sure, you're right.
More of a trailer in this case, but we don't know. What the rest of that is. He could have said maybe, or, you know, something else. He could have said maybe you should think about that, or I don't know. Something goes on to say something more beyond maybe. But it doesn't matter. It's all dialogue, and it's just this Pa Kent, for all we know. I mean, it's Kevin Costner. He hasn't been known to make a lot of great decisions.
True.
Well, I
he didn't do Hatfields and McCoys, after all.
Well, got to eat, but I figure he makes a great Pa Kent. I could see him being a really great Pa Kent.
Yeah, except, well, they have all that corn that they grow.
Well, yes, of course.
I don't know. Great Pa Kent, that seems like you're going pretty far out on the limb to me. But
okay, I have
he's not
words.
Sally Fields.
No. I have three words for you. Well, actually, it would be four. Christopher Nolan, executive producer.
Right.
Meh.
And this is the guy who basically, you know, when everybody he's the guy who said, yeah, Heath Ledger would make a great Joker, and 90% of the world went, are you out of your fucking mind, the dude from Knight's Tale? And then he blew us all away. So I mean, that's why when the rumor came out about Dark Knight Rises, or I don't even think it had a title at that. I think the working title or the rumor title was just Gotham. Somebody was like, Eddie Murphy is the Riddler. And I was like, you know what? I'll go with that. If Nolan says that, first of all, A, because I miss Eddie Murphy and I want him back, A. And two, if they say that's the right thing for it, I'm like, go, do it, whatever.
My 9-word reply to you is Kevin Costner acts as if he were a box.
No, I'm sorry. Boxes actually act more like they're Kevin Costner.
Actually, I'd like to point out that Box is an Alpha Flight character, and so not really.
I thought that was a character from Logan's Run.
Now, are you confusing it with Mother Box from Apocalypse?
No. Box, you know, who harvested the what was it? Harvested the stuff from the sea.
I'm just surprised Scott knows anything about Box.
Oh, well, whoa. It is made of wood.
And it's pink.
Not all of them.
Pussy. Uh-huh. Oh, speaking of Kevin Costner, guess what the rumor mill has dug up? they are, Syfy is thinking about making Waterworld into a series.
Why?
Nah.
Because they're Syfy and they do stupid shit like that.
Okay, first of all, Scott, can I just say that you really shouldn't patronize them by saying that they're called Syfy, because it's not spelled fucking Syfy. It's spelled sci-fi still. So, I mean, now, granted, I can see where in, you know, our friend Iron from Ireland, our friend Aaron from Ireland, which I think was a Silver Age country that the Fantastic Four visited.
Wow, man, that
Boulevard beer is great. Oh my God, it's fantastic. I think SYFY could be pronounced Syfy in Ireland, because nothing is pronounced like it's spelled. So, but no, I will say this. The main problem that I had with Waterworld, because it was just Mad Max on water. And if you go into it thinking, this is a B movie Mad Max on water, i.e. like the sort of thing that in the mid 80s you would have found while you were trawling the sci-fi genre on, you know, in your local independently owned video rental store, kids ask your parents. The main problem I had with it was like, what was it? $150 production budget.
Yeah.
And you didn't see that on the screen. I'm fine with I'm fine with a huge budget. Like Dark Knight Rises, you go and you see that and you see the money on the screen.
And even Titanic, which a lot of people complain about, but you saw the money on the screen.
Oh yeah, you saw the fucking money on that. But I mean, I think part of the problem too was because they had insisted on shooting it actually in the ocean. There was that sequence where the storm came through and destroyed the entire set, and they had to rebuild it from scratch. So
yeah, that could be a problem.
Sea was angry that day, my friends.
I don't know. It's just like, the thing is, though, Waterworld has such a bad associations with it that is anybody actually going to watch this unless it is absolutely amazing? And it's not going to be amazing on a Syfy budget.
No, probably not. Probably not. Although, now, okay, here's a crazy question. Did you remember that they had that, shit, what was it called? The Aquaman series that they somehow roped Ving Rhames into doing, where they did the pilot on, what was it, CW? Or maybe it was the WB still. But you guys saw that. It was like Shark Reef or Ocean Reef or something was what it was called. You guys remember
that? Yeah. I heard of it. I didn't see it, but I heard of it, yeah.
Well, my thought is, that can't have had a huge budget considering where it was. So, I don't know, maybe there's a way of doing Waterworld where you don't have to be in the middle of the ocean the entire fucking time, at least from a production standpoint.
So in other words, you think they're going to change the premise some where there may be more land stuff, or at least something on dry areas, so they won't have to rely on the ocean so much.
Well, or they could at least, you know, shoot it in a tank. You know, what a concept. I mean, Jesus Christ, even Cameron, who is insane, you know, shot the Abyss in a tank. I mean, come on. Now, granted, to be fair, he did completely redesign all the scuba gear and, you know, take the technology of that stuff about two steps forward in the process, but he did shoot in a tank, so.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm thinking of is all the pool boys in the area must be thinking that they've got it made, because someone's going to have to clean that tank. Might as well go to the professionals.
No, I think what they'll do is they'll just get really large mutant algae eaters.
Snails. Snails clean tanks. That's why they put, you know, people with aquariums, they put snails in them, they clean.
And because this is a Hollywood production, when it's over, escargot.
That's right.
Oh, God, I haven't had escargot in forever. I got to think about that.
What's to think about?
No, I just got to think of a place in Tallahassee that does it. I need to look that up.
Like, that's going to happen.
What's that supposed to mean?
Okay, name a really pissy restaurant in Tallahassee right now. 3 seconds.
The Governor's
Two,
Club.
Three. Four, okay.
What do you mean?
You don't get to play.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by pissy?
I don't know, somewhere really expensive that you would find escargot.
Tallahassee has its share of uppity restaurants. I mean,
It
is the state capital, for God's sakes.
And there are a bunch of Republicans there.
Exactly.
They might have it out Albert's Provence.
Scott, what Rox actually means by a pissy restaurant is a place that serves a lot of diuretics.
That's right.
Out in Killarn, there's probably a ton of them.
I'd say closer to downtown.
Well, that's true. Yeah, next to that. But I was thinking, for the locals.
Where all the money is, out by Golden Eagle.
I wouldn't say that. Nowadays, Killarn is not as hoity-toity as it used to be.
Why? What happened, Scott?
Do tell.
Well, there was the nuclear waste accident.
Yeah, that didn't help. But, it's just, things have changed and money moves on. Ooh, Albert's Provence does have escargot. I'm looking up their
mystery. Mystery solved, kiddos.
Now, is that your next door neighbor?
No, they're in Killarn, but that might be something.
See, I told you.
Yeah. Oh, and they have foie gras mousse.
Oh, okay.
Foie gras? Is that liver of a frog?
I thought it was like the 10th unknown Fraggle.
No,
this guy was always in the background.
Stuffed liver of a goose.
I still stand by my 10th unknown Fraggle.
Goose, duck and a goose, like minced up to like whipped up like a pate and served.
You sure it's not duck goose?
Ooh, lobster bisque. Ooh, that sounds good. I gotta go out there.
Oh, wait, those bisque.
Good call. Oh, shit.
No, I said it. It doesn't work when I do it.
Yes,
we know that.
I'm sure you've said that to many a boyfriend.
Fuck you. Hey.
Whoa, wait.
Fuck no, all of y'all. Exactly.
Wow.
Lock Robster.
Boys in the cave, girls in surf board, everybody's rockin', everybody's broken.
So, the other teaser trailer, Star Trek.
Ah, yes!
With your boy in it, doing the voiceover.
I have a boy?
Well, whatever. Cumberbatch.
Scott's gonna be so jealous.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I didn't know that his...
What? Which is a Cumberbatch?
Whole sentence.
His voice is way, way, way deeper than I seem to recall it being on Sherlock.
That's called acting.
What? Wait, what's that? Scott, tell me. Wait, never mind. Let me ask someone who knows.
Does anyone have Kevin Costner's number on speed dial?
I got a series of boxes, though.
Wow.
You wish.
That was evil. I'm sorry, wow. Scott.
Yeah, just laugh it up, monkey boy.
It's a caffeinated pool that I'm
monkey
drinking.
Boy?
Yeah.
So would you, Widge,
are you going to, like, take him to task or something? Are you going to fight him? That's a fighting kind of thing. Yeah, fight.
Fight!
Laugh it up, monkey boy.
Shut up, big booty. I shoot you.
Thank you. Somebody got that.
I
was beginning to wonder.
No, of course I got it. All right. So
I just don't care.
Now here's the thing. So Star Trek, I assume everyone's seen the regular trailer and the expanded Japanese trailer.
Oh, I've not seen the expanded. I've not seen the expanded Japanese trailer.
Well, why not? It was on the Unique Geek. I put it there.
I assumed. Where would you?
Fight!
You mean listserv.theuniquegeek.com?
That's the one. Why didn't you check it?
I do all the time.
No, you do not, you big
If
lie.
You had, you would have known about the expanded Japanese trailer.
Oh, shit. Okay. What's the difference? Someone tell me.
About what? Like 10 seconds?
It's
ten seconds. Now, the 10 seconds is basically the end, right?
Yeah.
So, basically, if you watch it, John, you'll see something that looks a lot like a very famous Trek death.
Ta-da! Trek death.
Oh, hold Trek on. Death. Now I gotta watch it.
God. Now, talk now, amongst okay, yourselves. So here's my question. Here's my question. Is Cumberbatch Khan or not?
No.
No, I
don't think so. I have heard rumors that it may be what's his name? His friend
Cochran?
My great English teacher?
Oh no, that Finnegan guy?
No. Oh God, I'm trying to remember. The one that when they hit that the Great Barrier, he acquired like powerful psychic abilities and stuff. I'm trying to remember what the hell his name is. Shit. Yeah. It's from one of the pilots that they did, and I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
From the episode where No Man Has Gone Before.
Yeah.
I just rewatched it. They're saying that's not him though. They're crediting J.J. Abrams said today, or it was published today, that J.J. Abrams has named the character like John Harrison, and every
the composer of Day of the
gone,
Dead.
Baba? What? I don't know who that is. Oh my God! A new character. Reboot hey! The entire fucking franchise and put in a new character. How genius!
That's true. That is a possibility, and of course, John Harrison may be just an alias for the character.
Well, that's what they asked J.J. Abrams, and he said, no, that's the character.
Huh.
Well, just like Selina Kyle in Dark Knight Rises was never really Catwoman, it was Selina Kyle. Right. Oh, the character is Selina Kyle. Oh, yeah, okay, we saw the ears, and they were sexy. She's Catwoman, sorry.
You mean the character that Halle Berry played?
Shut up! I had an aneurysm!
It's the same person, right?
No!
See, he's doing it to everybody, not just me. We should all beat him.
So the famous death scene, I don't get what you're talking about there.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. You're killing us here, John. You're killing us.
Okay. Anyway, but I was just amazed at the voiceover. I thought the voiceover was fucking phenomenal.
Well, yeah, he's got a great voice. I mean, the
way more evil than I'm used to from him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he can do that. If you want to see a really great non-Sherlock thing that he's done for the BBC, he actually introduced the Olympics and
did
like a 4-minute, like, world welcome to London sort of thing, which was awesome. So, I mean, that's on YouTube, so you can find that. But no, he can be really, really good. And oh, by the way, if you want to see more non-Sherlock stuff of his, Tinker Tailor.
Yeah.
He's got a very small part in that, but the one scene that he has where it's just like he goes off is like fucking devastating. So he is awesome. I'm going to be so happy to see him in something else, especially playing someone evil.
And isn't he a blonde naturally?
Like, you know,
his hair color was in Tinker Tailor?
That's a good question.
I think he is. And I was like, I just can't see him as a blonde because I've seen him in Sherlock. And I'm like, that clearly that's what his hair color is. But I don't think that's correct. I think he's actually a blonde.
I will tell you.
His photos are blonde. If you look on IMDb, they're blonde.
See, and I had never seen him as a blonde until Tinker Tailor, and I thought he had changed his hair color for that, but it
okay,
would appear that he has...
According to what I've seen, his natural hair color is described as auburn. To the
Romans, it's kind of reddish, right?
Ludenic yeah.
To the Saxons, Londonburg to Alfred the Great, but to all generations since... London. Our London of today.
He's awesome. I want to have his babies.
Really good.
Can I have his babies?
John's got a man crush.
I want to have his voice babies.
Wait a minute. Now, John, do you want to actually have his babies, or do you want to have them as in you want to find them and kidnap them?
Yes.
Because you're not supposed to do that in the storage, along with your meth.
So is John now a Cumberbitch?
I just want his voice.
The rest will come later.
I will just cut out his voice.
You know what? I think this is a goal, and I think we should put Rob in charge of this because Rob is the kind of guy who could pull it off. But I want Rob. I want Rob to get Benedict Cumberbatch to say, not to replace Rox's line, but simply as a companion to say, "I just need 27 inches." I want Benedict Cumberbatch to say that.
Yes, but if he says it to John, he'll be so disappointed.
How big is your monitor, John? And by that, I don't mean the guy who gives weapons to villains so that he can set himself up for crisis.
Which monitor?
Or your lizard.
Which monitor?
Your biggest one.
That's 19. That's 19 square. 22, okay, I think? 22.
Okay.
Missed it by that much.
There's it. I'm on it. So I just want to have his voice, babies.
What the fuck was that?
And our sinews. And our voice.
Up and down.
Oh, yeah. Your voice. Yes. Your voice. I gotta go refill. I'll be back in a minute. And by refill, I mean jerk off.
Yeah, refill, sure.
And unless I'm not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Mm-hmm. It certainly is. Oh, be right back.
God, has there been any other teases? I just watched Man of Steel like right before the podcast. I saw it was out. Has any other teasers been out that anyone's seen that anyone gives a shit about?
I'm trying to work on my Christmas card.
Yes. Can you reveal any details about your Christmas card?
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. It'll be fun. It's kind of, over the weekend was my mom's 75th birthday.
Nice.
And yes. And so where her condo is, she lives right next door to a synagogue, and every year they have a menorah museum at the Hanukkah house. So it's something pertaining to the Jewish religion, not in a bad way, but you know, something really cool. So
cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the bonus note here, or do you want to wait?
Bonus note? What? Like we're all getting note? Bonuses for Christmas?
The bonus note.
The what?
From what Amazon.
Oh, I would have to find it. Yes. So I need to go. But basically the story is Scott sent me a lovely gift for Xmas and an amusing gift note from Amazon. Along with that note came someone else's random gift note for someone else that I don't know. For some gift that wasn't included.
So, that's going Amazon.
I was amused. I think maybe that what would be hilarious is that they just throw a random one created at random using the Borosian cut-up method into every package. That's your holiday surprise.
I don't know if mine would be appropriate to send to other people.
No. Yours wasn't appropriate to send to me, but that never stopped you, so.
Well, yeah, but I know you. I mean, a complete stranger.
No, I know. I know, but I get stranger all the time. Oh, okay. So that's what I wanted to ask. Talking about trailers. So have you guys seen the new Lone Ranger trailer?
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, dear God. Yes.
Okay. Now, Scott, I can't tell if that is you being
it sucked.
Thank you for laying it on the line like that.
Well, I felt – I'm sorry. I thought my dear – I didn't put enough contempt and disgust in my voice. So obviously I wanted to be very clear and exact. It sucked. I thought – I had to watch the – not the original. I had to watch the first movie, Lone Ranger, to review for this site. I thought that was bad.
No, it's bad.
watching this? Fuck, this is going to suck.
Well, yeah.
No. This will be, this is beyond just normal. No. This is going to be, this is Titanic level suck.
Really? You think? I mean, you know, they're playing it tongue in cheek, right? Or no?
God, I hope so. I don't know how you could have Johnny Depp as Tonto and not have it be tongue in cheek. Although I don't understand why he's got Edgar Allan Poe's friend on his head. I don't understand.
I mean, the thing is he did that one weird Canadian. Did everyone see that? I can't
Dead
remember
Man?
It. Yeah, Dead Man. That wasn't bad.
But that's a little different than basically we're going to paint your entire face so we can get away from the fact that you don't look Native American in the lead.
And he's doing the weird stilted Tonto voice, which you think maybe they could have. Oh God! And of course, Helen Bonham Carter is there.
Well, yeah, by law,
they kinda have to be.
Yeah.
Is this being done by what's his face?
Not Tim Burton. No, it's Gore Verbinski. It's the guy who did Pirates of the Caribbean. Which is what's weird because when they first announced, oh, we're doing a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, right? I think, like everyone who is sane, I went, are you fucking kidding me? But then when I saw the teaser trailer, which was a masterful teaser in that it had absolutely no footage in it and just basically said, yeah, hi, we've got Johnny Depp and we've got Jeffrey Rush and we've got Orlando Bloom and basically just touted the cast. And you kind of just went, well, shit, okay, I'll at least give you a chance. But with this, I don't know. I think maybe if anything, it will be, you know, fun and stupid, which I'm fine with it being fun and stupid because, I mean, the Lone Ranger isn't exactly high intellectual material, right?
Right.
No.
So.
I disagree.
No, you don't. I don't know. I think this is going to go beyond fun and stupid and just be stupid. Honestly, it just.
Well, there was always, you know, Dark Shadows.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I think this is going to be Dark Shadows bad.
Dark Shadows was awesome.
Fuck you.
You didn't even see it.
No.
That's because you were wise. Because it was ass.
I don't know. Like I said, it just seems it's going to be on that level. It's going to take something that could have been interesting and then just make it shit.
Well, what's funny is that I think most of the people who are, I mean, look at it this way. Most of the people who are looking at that trailer have never fucking seen the first movie, haven't seen any of the original material, nothing.
Right. And are not going to be nostalgic about it and not bother to see the movie. That's the thing. It's like most of these people, there's no hook to pull them in. It's, you know, it's kind of like when they tried to bring back I Spy. Yes, it was a terrible movie, but most of the people who'd be interested in it, it never. You see what I mean? It's just, it's too far.
I understand. It's like staying away from, you know, Dark Shadows. For those of us that liked Dark Shadows, the original, you're like, why do you want to, you know, dash your dreams on, you know, especially when if you're one of those people that read, you know, into
the
backstories and stuff of, you know, this is what's coming out and you're reading that it's not like what you would like. It's not really an homage or anything. You're going to stay away.
Yeah. It's like the thing is.
Homage is my French porn name, by the way.
Okay.
Le Petit Homage.
The story of Homage.
Oh.
Sorry.
And even the thing was, even if you could maybe give it a chance, and okay, it's going to be campy, you know, movie, but then you watch it and it's like, then you see the trailers and it's like, this isn't going to be fun at all.
That's right.
It's just, no. No, it's going to suck. It's going to suck big, what was this horse's name?
Horse droppings.
Yeah.
Silver. Hi-ho, Silver.
It's going to suck.
Get that.
It's been a while. It's going to suck Silver's droppings.
Well, there you have it.
Exactly.
Who wants a cookie?
I want a cookie.
Oh.
I want a cookie. I want a cookie now.
Yeah, and that's another, yeah.
I mean, the sad thing is okay, if you look, all right, we all like Johnny Depp. He's talented, but what
and
really, other than making the money as, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow, what has he been able to do after that? I mean, the whole Barnabas Collins thing fell, this Tonto thing, that's going to fall. I mean, what else?
Edward Scissorhands.
No, I meant afterwards. Oh. After this whole, you know, the Captain Jack Sparrow.
Rango.
Okay.
Yeah, hang on. Let me see. He's,
But that, you know what? On a whole, he was doing, what's his name? Thompson. Almost.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S.
Well, wasn't that after that too?
He did do Rum Diary, which he had been trying to get made for years.
All right.
That's Rango, like you said.
Well, I was going to say, it might not be the best film ever, but it did get made.
The only thing I can think of is his cigarette habit has gotten so bad that he has to take these shitty roles just to keep it up. Smoking that much.
What has he got?
Because cigarettes are expensive, people.
So, yeah, he is, the stuff that he is working on is, he's doing a Keith Richards documentary, costs money. He is producing an adaptation of the comic book Rex Mundy, costs money. He is going to remake The Thin Man.
Really?
Stub your toe? Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
If it might work, if he stays away from Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes.
That's possible.
Because here's the thing. Myrna Loy, right? Am I right?
Yes,
Myrna Loy was just as good as William Powell in those series. You have to have somebody who could play against Johnny Depp really well. I mean,
what I was about to say is is he making the remake? Is he producing it? Or is he actually going to star in it?
He is I think a lot of his stuff is he is probably at this point producing it. Let me see. I don't know. It's with Rob Marshall. I don't know. In addition to that, it looks like he wants to do the Sin City sequel mentioned. I don't know how much of this is still happening, but, he wants to do a Kolchak movie, apparently, which would be fine if it wasn't Tim Burton. It mentions him doing he's bought the rights to the comic book, The Vault. That can't be right.
Really?
Yeah, because there's not, I thought, hang on.
Well, I mean, The Vault is part of EC Comics. And,
well, Marvel, really.
Well,
there's different vaults. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Oh. See, I was thinking, because The Vault is along the lines of Tales from the Crypt. The one I know from DC. Or EC Comics.
Vault of Horror, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
Now, I will say this. Wouldn't it be great to see Johnny Depp play the central character in an omnibus film like Vault of Horror? Like a Hammer omnibus?
Yeah.
Okay, that is kind of intriguing. Thin Man, really?
Well, I look at it this way. He is basically at the point now where, and I can understand this, I think he sees that he is on the gravy train now and is going to ride the shit out of it while he still can, because it doesn't last forever. And then at that point, he's got a war chest done and can go do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Well, this is true. And just so you know, here's the thing about Thin Man. They had at least 4 films of those.
Oh, yeah.
But I, you know, the writing has got to be there. It's got to be screw. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, Hammett, who, wait a minute, didn't Hammett write those? Or was it Chandler?
Well, he did like the first, I think he did the first.
Right.
First one. I don't know if he did the second one or not. But
no, he wrote the book, but he didn't write the screenplay.
Oh, okay.
But the other thing about it is, one, is he going to set it in the 20s or 30s? Because I can't see something like that working.
And at Christmas, oh my God, you know what? Here's the cool thing. That the first Thin Man is a great Christmas movie.
True.
Because there's death in it. I mean, there it is. It takes place at Christmas time. It's a great Christmas movie.
Well, so does Lethal Weapon, but
Batman Returns.
Doesn't the first Die Hard happen around Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
And the second one.
Ho, ho, ho. So, now, you know, those, I have a machine gun.
There you go.
There you go.
See, that's what they should be showing on that ABC. The Thin Man and Die Hard. Real Christmas sort of films.
I'd prefer.
I think maybe AMC might be doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thin Man, really? Damn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Scott.
I know. I'm. It's.
Spit it out.
Use your words.
Not the first time he's heard that.
Whoa. Actually, yes, it is.
Wait.
Sorry.
It's the first time we've heard it.
Well, except for John.
Aww.
Because he's a slut.
Slut. Whore.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pause that refreshes
every 15 minutes.
There you go. Well, listen, while we've paused, should we try to do introductions actually before?
Oh my gosh.
Hour four of the podcast?
Stop the podcast.
All right. So we will do that then. Let me just make a note because otherwise I have to figure out where the hell we put them. All right. So we will come back and do introductions and we will do them starting now.
We've seen you, staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a NeedCoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Edition of Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on NeedCoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck, and one of the few things not starring Johnny Depp. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Scott C. is with us. Hello, Scott.
Hey.
Hey. We also have Serv is here. Hi, Serv.
Good evening.
Yes, hello to you. Roxas Spazhouse is here. Hello, Rox.
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. It's Hanukkah, people.
It's true.
It'll be still Hanukkah when this goes up.
Now, Rox, I'm sort of surprised because if I figured you were going to make anything out of clay, it would be a golem. So,
Golem, golem, golem. Sorry. I made you out of clay.
Hey. Don't get her in trouble with the union.
And with this piece of paper, you will select your prey.
And that is John for the Unique Geek. Hello, John.
Hello. Hey, hello. How would Tim Burton cast the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
No. Hang on, John. I couldn't hear you. What were you saying?
I was asking how Tim Burton would cast a Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Holy shit. Well, obviously, you've got Johnny Depp as Charlie Brown and Helena Bonham Carter.
I don't know.
Oh?
If he was Charlie Brown, I think he'd be Linus.
Okay. All right. I can see that. So who's your Charlie Brown? Who looks good in a bald cap?
Just get Chiklis. He doesn't need it.
Yeah, but he's never been in a previous movie, though.
It's true. Well, Helena Bonham Carter gets Peppermint Patty.
Hmm.
Or maybe Marcy.
Not
really,
Lucy?
You wouldn't
Peppermint
have
Patty isn't in the Christmas one.
You wouldn't have her as Lucy, because it seems to me she's vicious enough to play Lucy.
She could be, yeah.
Let's see. No, okay,
have
so
we
here's
introduced?
Here's my yes, we have. Here's my question. Are we doing a animated in the real world Snoopy, a CG Snoopy, what are we doing?
Snoopy doesn't have to talk. Well,
no, that's true.
So we can go with a real world Snoopy.
Wait, no, I've got it. I've totally got it. Andy Serkis motion captured as Snoopy.
Oh my.
Oh,
no,
fantastic.
No. Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Only because they'll make it seem like, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, no.
That's bad. Yeah, we cannot have that.
Now, Rox, I will say that Andy would go and basically spend days and days in various and sundry kennels learning how dogs moved for real.
Yeah, but that's not the point. That's not Snoopy. Snoopy doesn't act like a real dog.
I know.
Yeah, but see,
acts like a World War I flying ace.
Exactly.
Yeah, but then he would go and learn that too, because that Andy Serkis is the motion capture equivalent of Daniel Day-Lewis. So.
All right.
I mean, you heard about what he did for Planet of the Apes, right?
Yes, we heard. Yes, we heard.
He threw feces at his neighbors. That's what he did.
Ooh, Christopher.
That is kind of cool.
Christopher.
Because you have the excuse. What the hell are you doing? I'm researching a role. Oh, okay.
Christopher Walken as Charlie Brown.
Oh, my God. I love it.
That's actually a pretty fucking cool idea.
That is an awesome idea.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
That's such a good idea. I'm going to leave on that note.
Serve's like, fuck it. This podcast can't get better than that.
It can't get better than Christopher Walken as Charlie Brown. Go fuck yourself if you think that's,
ooh, that's
possible. I mean, holy shit.
All right, Serve.
Good night, all.
Good night, Serve.
Good night, sir. Harder, harder. Oh, my God.
And flights of aneurysms sing thee to thy rest. I don't know how aneurysms sing. But just go with it.
Okay. Now what? Now what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I'm still thinking about Tim Burton's Charlie Brown Christmas. Now,
who plays Schroeder?
Now I will say this: you can have a certain number of people who are new to the Tim Burton stable, because I mean, like. You know, you had, what's her face? Hit Girl was in Dark Shadows. So there's a certain number, like maybe one or two slots that you can have for new people.
Yeah. Like, okay. We could even go. All right. If you want to do the Tim Burton, you could take anybody from even, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Really? From
we
that?
We need to put Glenn Close in it. She was great in Mars Attacks.
Hmm. Is she the voice of the teacher?
Yes, she could be the voice of the teacher. Hey, she was on Broadway. Wah, wah, wah. There you go.
And she was in Hook. So, I mean, she's good.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg is Schroeder?
Really?
I don't know. Sing a musician. I guess you qualify him as a musician, right?
What is Terry Connick Jr. doing?
Does he play the piano?
I don't know. It's probably... Wait, who, Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah.
Is that just a random slam on Harry Connick Jr.?
Sure, why not?
An uncalled for slam, might I add?
Wow.
What did he ever do to you?
Nothing.
We talk about...
All I asked was, does he play the piano?
Did we talk about New Orleans too much?
Wait, you were seriously asking that.
I was serious. This once, I was serious.
And you saw how well that...
I know. See how well that is received. Wow.
Wow.
You're not getting a fucking Christmas card from me. I was going to number these and everything.
Well, hope
limited
floats.
Editions.
Oh, my God. So what? Should I just let Harry Connick Jr.'s piano die? Maybe. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Yeah. So what? There's no Peppermint Patty in that. What the hell?
No.
Yeah, she just got up until later.
There's Violet.
No. What? I see.
Violet's in it. Isn't
she? Oh, there's a Patty, but not Peppermint Patty.
No, yeah. There's Pigpen. Who will play Pigpen? Oh my God! Pigpen is
Paul Rubens.
No, Rourke.
Ooh.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh.
Because you know what? For years. Okay, you look at him in Angel Heart.
Oh, he has a
he
face.
Looks like fucking Pigpen. That guy looks dirty. Even if he always looks dirty. He could play a, he is a bum. He always looks dirty. Even in The Wrestler, he looks dirty.
Oh my God, there's so many things to pull from this particular section.
Now, Rox, here's my question though. Mickey Rourke, hobo or not?
No, he's a tramp. Because he does work.
Gypsy? Thief?
And he moves around. He moves
Cook,
around a lot.
Wife, lover?
I remember even seeing, they had a thing in the New York Times years ago, and this was when The Wrestler came out, and he had this picture. They took a picture of him, and it wasn't Andy Leibowitz, it was somebody else. And he has several chihuahuas, but even walking the dog, he looked dirty. It looked like he fell down in some mud pile somewhere. It's like, how do you get dirty? How does that happen? You just got up. Whatever. Anyway. He looks like there's like a thin grime, you know, a thin film of grime on him. Like he's in a permanent filter of grime. And Pamela Anderson looks dirty too. I don't know why.
But for completely.
Oh, we know why.
Who plays Franklin?
Wait. I know.
Is Franklin in that one?
I think he has to be. Hey, look.
Franklin.
I didn't make the cartoon.
The Thanksgiving one.
He wasn't, or he was?
Hang on.
He wasn't. He was in the Thanksgiving one.
He was in the Thanksgiving one. Did he play an Indian in the Thanksgiving one?
No, remember Charlie Brown tried giving, you know, buttered toast, popcorn, and jelly beans for a Thanksgiving feast.
Huh. No, he was not in it.
Wow.
No. I know what happened. No, they introduced Franklin in the new special. What the hell is Kwanzaa, Charlie Brown?
Oh God! Wow. There's a kid named Sherman or Shermy, I think, isn't it Sherman? Yeah, no,
I don't think so.
Look that up.
In Rox's version, there is.
In my version, yeah.
Hmm.
So what the hell is Kwanzaa?
It's like Hanukkah.
It's a celebration of.
I mean, it's got several days. You know,
it's got candles.
Candles, yeah.
Listen to the old white folks talking about Kwanzaa.
About holidays we don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would say that he is in Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I think it's Terrence Howard in a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and then after that it's Don Cheadle.
Okay. I like
that. Pusha! Take that!
Do you play the piano, Terrence Howard? I think not! What? I don't know.
What? You think you're better than Don Cheadle? Hotel Rwanda, bitch.
I think Cedric the Entertainer. That would be better. Because you know what? He would beat Lucy's ass.
It doesn't
up.
Matter. Does he get any lines? I mean, he just has to stand around the background, right? Look, I'm not the racist. Charles Schulz is. That's what I'm saying. These are the words that I'm saying.
All I can say is, Cedric the Entertainer, fine. But, I mean, he was in the Honeymooners movie. So can he be trusted?
No. No.
I mean, let's you know.
Yeah.
That's the elephant in the room.
Not without a sizable deposit.
What?
Whoa.
Wait, what kind of deposit?
Of money.
Oh.
Of man juice.
Of bones. No.
Man juice.
No.
Oh, that's wrong.
I could make a comment furthering that, but I'm not.
Well, I was going to point out that that's my black exploitation porn name, Mandrews.
All right.
Yes, it is. Hold on one second.
Now the out. You're
hold
white.
On.
Holly goes. Oh,
thank you. Okay. Move on.
The crickets are kind of slow tonight.
Just like my man juice.
Does your wife wake up crying when you
anticipation? It's making her wait.
Her gag.
It goes, oh my god, he's still here.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
I know. You know. I spread joy wherever I go.
And John just spreads man juice.
I know.
I've spread joy before, too.
Jeez. No, you gotta clean that shit up.
It was 11th grade, I believe.
It was the peanut butter.
No, I was referring to a female. Named Joy.
Oh!
Let me explain the joke to you. It makes
thank
it funnier.
You. Now, what I would like to know is, did you have the joy down in your heart?
Oh, no, down in my bone.
Whoa! Hello!
And he means wood.
So poplar? Poplar. Poplar? Well,
for all your popped. Questions, please call in 404-382-0769. Next week, we will be live with Helping Rocks, and we will help you with all your wood questions.
On Wednesday.
Well, John be the first caller because he needs help.
We need to line up a guest host. I thought it's going to be Mighty Bill, right? Is that what
yeah,
saying?
I'll email him.
Yeah. What does he got to do?
I'll do that right now. Dear Bill.
Dear Bill.
Dear Bill.
I'm thinking of you.
But not in that kind of way.
No, but I was just talking about wood. And then your name came up.
Well, you know.
Wow. Wow. So, list of things that are wrong.
So many wrong.
I know. It's so horrible.
So, did Skype auto-update on you?
Yeah, it did. So far, it has behaved itself, and by me mentioning that, it just means that I'm going to die soon. So, but that's how it goes. Excuse me. That's okay. It happens. So, is there anything that is on television at all? Because I don't have anything to watch.
There's
right now.
Christmas stuff. They're doing AMC Christmas stuff every day.
You know what? It dawned on me. I realized last night when there was no Walking Dead, the reason why AMC put up their little Fios customer, Verizon Fios customer ads like a month and a half in advance of it being anywhere near being threatened, because nobody's going to go back to AMC until any of those things are on. So it's their only opportunity. There's nothing on AMC besides Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and Mad Men. And all those things are not on the air right now.
What do they show? Those are on 30th
Street was on last night.
Nightmare on what?
No, Miracle on 34th
Street. Oh, I thought you said Nightmare
on 34th
Street.
In the Asylum.
In the Asylum?
Sure, it's a mashup.
Oh, okay. Miracle on 34th Street.
Didn't they have didn't they have a therapist in Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, and he got clunked on the head by Kris Kringle, because he was a crappy therapist.
To answer your question, no, there isn't anything on television. Oh, I did watch a part of Take It All last night with Howie Mandel, his new game show.
Okay, what is this?
It is basically White Elephant. It's the White Elephant game. Are you familiar with what the White Elephant game is? It's usually played.
You're being racist again.
Yes, I am. Okay, Gray Elephant. Gray Elephant. You know, I didn't understand what I was saying because I don't see things as like. Wait a minute. No. Do you know what the White Elephant game is? Usually played at Christmas parties or whatever.
No.
Where? Okay. So everyone brings a gift. Usually,
you assume
it's,
I get invited to parties.
This is true. I assume that you went outside.
That's a very good point as well.
So usually what happens at a white elephant gift exchange is that everyone brings a wrapped present.
Oh, before you go on, John, I'd just like to say White Elephant is.
Is?
What? Scott?
Yeah?
What's Scott? Is?
I think he was going to say his gay porn name, but. But he, I think he cut out.
Albino Dumbo.
So White Elephant gift exchanges. Everyone brings a gift, wrapped. Usually they put a cap on the amount, like $25 or whatever. And
$5,000.
And you stick it underneath the Christmas tree or holiday tree, depending on where you're at. Maybe the Kwanzaa candles. Then everyone goes through and picks up a gift, opens it up. The first person opens it up and then decides, they have to hold on to that gift. And the next person comes along and says, either they take the gift from that person that they just opened, the first person, or they go under the tree and grab a different gift and open it up. And then basically you go through the entire, place or party and do that the entire time. And then everyone winds up with some gift at the end.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but this is the basis of this particular game show that Howie Mandel is hosting now.
I'm sort of amazed.
Wait,
because he's
that,
a,
you mean that, what is it called?
Game show?
Yeah.
take it all is what it's called. And at the end, so it goes down to basically, whoever, they do it exactly the same way. A person picks a random box off the screen. It could be, you know, a blue box, red box, green box, and behind it is some sort of prize.
One fish, two fish, three fish, blue fish.
Precisely. What? And then you try and get the most expensive gift or the most expensive prize. And then it goes all the way down, whittles down to just two people. Whoever has the least expensive prize gets kicked out and they go to the next round. At the end, It's probably the only interesting part of the show, and even then it's kind of dumb, where the two people face off, and you have two options. You either say, keep it all or take it all. If both of them say keep it all, then they get to keep all the prizes that they've accumulated up until that point. If one person says take it all, and the other person says keep it all, chooses to keep it all, then that the person that said take it all gets everything, both sets. If they both say take it all, then they get nothing. So it's kind of a – and then they make them talk to each other and try and convince each other.
All right. Are knives involved?
That would be awesome. But no. Just a lot of – oh,
I'm already bored. I'm already bored of you explaining this.
Trust me. I'm bored. I was bored explaining it too.
Now here's what I'm confused about, John, because I know that Howie Mandel is like a big germaphobe.
Yes.
I'm really confused as to why he's doing a game show that so involves a large animal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they must poop on the set.
And then to be called Take It All. Take It All!
This shovel isn't big enough to take it all!
Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible show. I wouldn't watch it again, ever.
And you've recorded how many episodes?
Well, it isn't.
It's on permanent record.
No, it. It was the first episode was last night. This being recorded from the night of this being recorded. And I only watched the last 20 minutes of it. It was like 2 hours long.
Holy crap!
Yes,
what?
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Wow, and I thought we were long-winded at the Fun Fest.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's two. No way. It's 2 hours.
It was last night's episode was 2 hours long. Started at 8 o'clock and went until 10 o'clock.
What the fuck? I mean,
because it's cheap to produce those things. That's why.
Ah, John, you could have had sex with your wife for that.
I did.
He finds bad game shows as an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
I wonder what happens when I Google take it all. Oh, wait. Safe search is off. Uh-oh.
You should thank your lucky stars that Safe Search is on.
No, it was off.
What are we looking at?
I pulled up images. Wait a minute.
What are we looking at?
Nothing. Actually, the first thing it comes up with is the Adele lyrics or the Adele song Take It All. Howie Mandel.
Are we seriously looking this up?
Well, I was just making sure that I had actually Yeah, okay. See, somebody else said that Howie Mandel's new game show Take It All takes the white elephant to a new level. Yeah.
What about the sequel Take It Off and
Welcome
Fuck
to
Me?
Toyota-thon.
I can't turn this off. Stop. I don't care about your Toyota-thon. Anyway.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can. We're just ignoring you.
Who is that?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Who is that? Oh my God.
Oh my God, you're right. There's like no TV on.
There is.
And you know
nothing.
What? NBC did all of their holiday things this weekend, last Thursday. So the sitcoms have done Christmas already. We are screwed for the next couple weeks, people.
You know what this means.
You need to tune in to Help Me Rocks, where we will fill in that gaps with 404-382-0769, where Mighty Bill, our friend over at Kinky and the Geek, will be co-hosting with me next week.
Do you have that confirmed?
It's official. Yes. Oh, okay. He said it would be a pleasure. He would be honored to be on Help Me Rocks. That's what he said.
We believe you, Rocks.
He lies. No, I'm just kidding.
No, so what's really terrifying is this, is that if there's no television on, and after we've all listened to Help Me Rocks 5 or 6 times and memorized
and
the theme music.
Justice.
And well, yeah, I mean, we've got one more Weekend Justice after this one, and then we're like done for the year. And then, well, then you got the outtake show, which.
Are there any? Well, besides Scott talking about his meth problem.
Now,
can you do me a favor?
Order.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
And don't include any of that stuff, any of the meth stuff in the outtakes. I just can't take it.
I won't. I promise.
Okay, thank you.
Scott's meth problem is funny. What?
Scott's meth problem is funny? Is that what you said?
Well.
It's hilarious.
Well, it is Scott. they said meth changes you, and we're like, great. what the hell was I saying? I have no idea. No, I was saying what after you've listened to all the podcasts that we have here that's going on, horror of horrors, we might actually have to watch DVDs that we've purchased and not watched yet.
Oh, there is the new trailer for Downton Abbey, which is coming in February, I believe, right?
I don't know. I don't watch it.
Oh. Right.
I'm one of like 3 people on the planet that doesn't watch it. That doesn't
I don't watch it either.
You know, the weird thing is I really like Upstairs Downstairs far better than Downton Abbey. Even though I'm a Maggie Smith fan, it does nothing for me. That show. I'm sorry for those people that love it.
I couldn't get into it either. I mean, I did my stint with soap operas in the 80s, so I'm good.
Yeah.
What did you watch?
I watched
he's a Falcon Crester.
Dynasty and Dallas, really. And really the reason I watched it is because we only had 3 channels and choices were limited.
Yeah, I heard they're actually going to do when they come back with the new Dallas on TNT, they're actually going to do a JR burial.
Oh.
Oh, that's actually sad.
Well, I mean, it sort of makes sense. I mean, you would want to, that character has been in pop culture for so long.
Mm-hmm.
He was
in the show.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to do something lame by going, oh, well, he's off to visit relatives. No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, that was fucking sad, Larry Hagman going, because he's been around for forever and seemed to be really enjoying himself a lot. So.
It was great seeing him at Dragon Con that one year. And I was in the elevator with him and Bill. It's really great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Could have fought some crime.
Yep. Yep. Would all be on my little bike. Yeah. Awesome.
So here's a question. What do you guys have that you have not watched? I mean, do you know? Do you even know what's on your shelf right now? Because everyone has these.
I have the Blu-ray of Dark Knight Rises, which I think I called Dark Knight Returns last week. I had actually thrown the box away because it was packed with something else that had come in the mail. Remember last week, if you recall. Never mind. Previously on Weekend Justice. And I also have Van Wilder, some sort of Van Wilder thing that was sent to me by somebody.
Oh, I have that John Adams thing my mom gave me. I haven't looked at it yet.
The Paul Giamatti?
Yeah.
I didn't finish it. I watched the first two episodes. It was brilliant what I saw of it.
Yeah. So that's on my shelf. And, oh, Longitude with, Michael Gambon. It's about the guy that made the clock for, you know, seafaring, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. Haven't watched that yet. We'll have a long holiday weekend. Maybe I'll watch it then.
And over the holidays, John Dies at the End will hit on demand. So.
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
I have not. I am keeping myself away from it so I can watch the film just by itself. I mean, just on its own merits. And then I might go back. Because the, what is it? The sequel's called This Book is Full of Spiders.
It is.
No, seriously, dude, don't touch it. That's what
exactly.
It's called. Which I fucking love. I think it's brilliant.
It's a fucked up shit.
I like it. Also, I like the notion of the, what seems like, at least on the surface, a stoner buddy comedy mixed with Lovecraft, in which we're basically told from the beginning that they lose. So.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So.
It is as if Lovecraft was done by Kevin Smith.
Wow. View Askew presents The Whisperer in Darkness.
Oh my God.
Oh, Jay Muse is the thing on the doorstep. I know, it hurts me too.
Oh God.
I know.
Hey, that could be the next H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society production.
They will kill you, Scott. They will fucking.
Oh, I guess. Okay, I guess when Rob gets
the various sort of phases of movie making, like they did the silent film, and then they did like the 1930s sort of action serial thing with the Whisper in Darkness.
Whisper in Darkness, yeah.
Well, they could do the Jay and Silent Bob thing. It could be the representative of 90s indie filmmaking.
Wow. Oh my God, they can do a slacker version too.
Exactly.
Oh, you know, they could do that where, you know, somebody walks around and starts up another story, just like Slacker. I love that film. Maybe I'll watch that again. So, okay, we get Doctor Who coming up. That'll be at Christmas.
And 2012 wipe.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'll bet anything. Nobody's planning anything for TV because of 2012.
They're hedging their bets.
Uh-huh. It's like, oh, why put anything on? We're all going to go.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God, Angry Birds movie set for 2016.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
It hurts my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stop eating those... Never mind.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
Who plays Angry Birds here?
I do.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I know people who do.
Okay.
It was a fun game. It was one of those addictive things that I went, okay, I have to get rid of this, otherwise I will never work again.
So you've not played the Star Wars edition then?
No, I played the Angry Birds and then the Seasons one, and that was it.
Yeah, you should try the Star Wars one. It's pretty fun. It is a blast to play.
Oh, now by Disney.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Like everything else. So, okay.
Them and Amazon.
Wow.
Screeching halt.
There's nothing happening. What is happening?
It's the holiday.
What are the people on Twitter talking about?
I don't know. Like, I pay attention to that stuff.
Do you? You don't?
No.
Do you not go on there anymore?
No, I do. But see, you have to understand, I follow so many goddamn people that people are like, oh, well, didn't you see that? I posted that to Twitter. Oh, didn't you see that? I posted that to Facebook. I'm like, I go there like 3 times a day. I'm probably going to miss whatever it is that you're posting unless you really want to get my attention with it. I'm like, sorry.
All right. Meatless Monday, which was Twittered by Dindrain, sweet potato and pumpkin curry via Happy Cow at Meatless Monday. There's a recipe.
Oh, no. No, what kind of, what? No, that doesn't sound like a happy cow to me.
Let's see. Lisha D, she's watching Don't Trust the, I guess, Bee Bitch in App 23.
No, it's actually a bee.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Okay. It's actually pretty funny. I enjoy it.
Yeah, everybody in the apartment complex is allergic, so that's why they don't trust it.
Exactly.
Let's see. Heidi Tannenbaum was retweeted by Neil Gaiman. Made a surprise appearance at The Moth tonight at the Housing Works. And there's a picture. Picture. There he is talking. The Grinch. Oh, yeah. The Grinch is now making an appearance on Twitter. I want to be there when karma comes around and fucks you with a cactus. There you go. That's
what the Grinch said that?
The Grinch said that, Scott. You need to follow him.
And his ability to curse grew 3 times that day.
Yeah.
What about Krampus? Has Krampus started tweeting?
No.
Hey. It's not that time of the month, Scott. Oh, you mean Krampus. I'm sorry. I thought, never mind.
Really?
No.
Yes.
Michelle wrote, there's no coming to consciousness without pain. People will do anything, no matter how absurd. And there's a Tumblr thing.
Well, that's true. Exhibit A, this podcast.
Oh, the end of the world. So that's what she's tumbling about. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, how about this? What day is the 20th?
Is my birthday.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
Oh my God, Matt.
The 20th.
Matt Mateo, he's from Ithaca, New York. I've been following this guy for a long time. Yet another UFO video in the days leading up to the end of, and this was hashtag the end 2012. And there's a video. So
now
he is at Mouse Link. That is his thing. That is his little, but his name is Mateo.
Now I know we've discussed this before, but, what do you call it? Serve's birthday is the 21st.
Uh-huh.
It's also the day he turns 40. And the world ends.
Really?
And the world ends. So, coincidence?
Ooh.
I don't think so. I think the Mayans were right.
Sam Gritner writes, guns don't kill people. They kill tons of people.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, especially considering what happened in Portland. That's just a little tacky.
It is.
Your ability to exercise understatement is as sharp as ever, Scott.
I'm going to be dumb and say what happened in Portland.
Oh. Another shooting.
Oh.
Yep, that's exactly what we needed. Thank
you. Oh, here you go. Scott White's letting us know that the entire season of Good Eats are on YouTube. And an exclamation point, I am in heaven. Heaven. I'm in heaven.
Dude. Okay, can I just say that, you know, I am an atheist now, but I would certainly turn into an atheist if I thought that heaven was just going to be ready access to Good Eats episodes. I mean, I like Alton Brown, but I was expecting a bit more from an afterlife.
Oh, here's something.
What about Nigella Eats?
What?
Now, if it's Nigella is eating the liver of Sisyphus, then that would be really cool.
Joyce Carol Oates. Who
Prometheus. Prometheus.
Joyce Carol Oates, sushi phobia validated by New York Times mislabeled fish article. And it was picked up by the Today Show. Apparently, no real surprise, really, that most of the fish that people eat, especially in Florida, New York, and several other places, that they mislabel your seafood in sushi and stuff. And some of it, because they mislabel it that some of the fish has got like a high mercury content. So there you go.
Now,
I'm still eating sushi. Fuck that.
Like here, 94% of fish sold as white tuna is snake mackerel, which I've never heard, which can cause severe diarrhea. New York Times article, page A25. No one notices? That's her question. Thank you, Joyce Carol Oates.
Now, Rox, I'd like to be fair. You also follow Joyce Carol Oates in the real world, but you just hang back so you're not detected.
That's right. Yep. She's got eyes in the back of her head.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
I'm still eating sushi.
That is the entire Twitter. That's everything being said on Twitter.
Oh, my God. It's in this widget walls. Arg, Spike, Skype, no, don't auto-update Arg. So that's the update from 1 hour ago from a widget wall.
What an asshole.
I know.
I hate that guy.
Yeah. So that's what's going on the Twitterverse at the moment.
Wow.
In my group.
Wow.
Even Sons of Anarchy is over for the season. There's nothing going on.
That's amazing. I thought there was
end of the world as we know it.
That's really terrifying. I thought that like there were new shows and stuff coming out. I'm not used to this watching television, so I'm traumatized.
Yeah.
Isn't like Leverage and there's one other thing on
they
TNT.
All started like in January.
In January, exactly.
No. There's Leverage and something else on TNT is doing new episodes. So
in January, yes.
No, now.
No, they aren't.
Leverage is doing new episodes now.
Leverage
it is
episode. It is.
Fight.
Guide.
At last, a fight!
List of episodes. Wikipedia, which is always right.
About fucking time! Fight! Now, Wikipedia is saying that they're doing new episodes, and that their season finale is on Christmas night.
See?
Well,
I win.
No, hold on a second. They're doing one episode on Christmas night.
Right? But that's
no,
their season
finale.
They are
also doing other episodes.
Yeah, what? According to Wikipedia, which again is always right.
Which means I'm right. So fuck you, John.
How the hell is this not being recorded on my thingamadoohickey?
What? What do you mean? What do you mean not recording?
He means Leverage, Scott.
DVR.
Oh, God! I thought there was something wrong with the. Woo! That was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah, that's not recording either.
It's always scary.
Terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, hold on. I got to check my DVR.
There's the man who... There's a... When is this out? In theaters, December 7th. The man who shook the hand of Vicente Fernandez. I guess it's Ernest Borgnine's last film.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking at trailers on my iPad. What's this Oblivion? What the hell is that?
It's a sci-fi Tom Cruise film that I can't... And Morgan Freeman's in it. I can't decide if I care or not.
Oh, okay. What else?
Yeah, I thought there was some, like, movie shit happening. Where is that?
There's Anna Karenina. I heard there's some toys coming out, especially with a train set and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that was the other thing is, Jack the Giant Slayer.
Yeah.
Does anyone like the idea of that at all?
I don't anymore. Because you know what? It's breaking and entering. You know, I'm all about, you know, pilfering and stealing from people's yards and stuff because, you know, it's close to the public area. But, you know, the whole idea of Jack going up a beanstalk, that's fine. Okay, it grew, whatever. But then goes in. Now, here's a giant that has not done nothing to anybody. He has not caused mayhem to the people of Jack's village. So Jack goes in, steals the golden harp, steals the goose that lays the golden eggs. That's stealing. And then goes ahead. I mean, goes ahead and you know, kills the giant by, you know, letting the giant walk, you know, climb down the beanstalk and then cuts it away. That's okay. Murder.
So wait a minute. Rox, let me just make sure I'm following this correctly.
I know. It's really, I'm sorry. I had to pick and choose.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I didn't know if you were being ironic on purpose or if it just came naturally.
No. Well. You know, I mean, it's a giant and this kid's just a pissant kid. I'll root for the giant just because nice. It's a freak of nature. That's all. And he lives up on a cloud, for God's sake. I mean, come on.
There is a giant on a cloud.
Jack is an idiot because he sells the cow for magic beans.
Oh, hey, they're magic beans. Well, which we all know. I mean, I think Dan posted about that in her Meatless Monday thing.
Well, the thing is there's nothing clever about Jack. It's not like he's a seventh son of a seventh son out of that whole thing. You know, that the seventh son of a seventh son is supposed to be clever and does stuff.
Right.
He's not.
And a wayward son is supposed to carry on. I see your point.
That's right. This is just an idiot named Jack. Lucks out.
Typically, there's peace when they're done.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Lord knows, I have a thing about stupid people. I don't like them. Jack's one of them.
I think, really, in the new version, Jack trades the cow for lentils.
No, it'd be funny if Jack, you know, instead of getting, you know, golden eggs, he actually cooks the chicken, the goose. Oh, let's have goose for Christmas. That would be appropriate.
Now that would be the foie gras that Scott doesn't
like. However you pronounce it,
the magua, whatever it's called, that's the magua. That's what you don't feed after midnight, right? The magua.
Something. Yeah.
I can't do it.
Frogwar.
Can't say it.
Yeah, I think you kiss that and it turns into lamb.
The quagmire, whatever it's called.
I can never say it right. Frogwar.
The hawksmoor, whatever it is.
You know what I'm talking about. I can't say it. I can't say it right.
I feel like that all the time. Oh, here you go. Here's fun. Did you know that they're re-releasing Top Gun in 3D?
Awesome.
On IMAX?
And by awesome, I mean stupid.
So you can have the homosexual subtext right in your face?
Isn't that just a Friday night for you?
It's not a subtext.
Yeah, for me, but that's not for general audiences.
It's what's called a supertext.
Yeah, baby.
And by super text, I mean he's getting instant messages on his phone. And by that, I mean sexting.
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
No. Yes. Jurassic Park 3D.
Oh, yeah, I saw the trailer for that.
Wait a minute. Why did you need to re-see the trailer? Didn't you remember that film?
It was in a cinema where I was sitting waiting to watch another film.
Film were you waiting to watch? Were those?
Fuck this trailer! I'm gonna go out and do something else for 2 minutes. What the fuck was it? I don't even remember. Was it on IMAX? It may have been Skyfall. You know what? I think it was Skyfall.
Wow. It's the pause that refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
It really isn't that.
There's just nothing happening. That's what's really terrifying.
And yet, somehow, we've managed to talk for a minute and 45
minutes. Let's see what the New York Times book review is posting.
Oh my God, reading? Are we stupid?
I know. I mentioned earlier how I talked to a little 10-year-old girl, and I asked her what she's reading on her Kindle, and she actually said, "We don't read on these things."
Oh shit!
I know. I'm like, wow. Okay.
You should have told her that her Barbie is going to kill her in her sleep.
No, it wasn't Bink. It wasn't Bink.
No, just generally, you should have told that child, you know, your Barbie's going to kill you in your sleep. It's going to happen. You're going to die.
And that's why Scott doesn't babysit anymore.
Let's see. The 10 best book. Graphic books bestsellers. Well, let's see. There's a new Fables coming out.
I have not read
the spinoff for Sleeping Beauty.
What, the Anne Rice erotic novel thing?
No, this is it's called Fairest. I guess I don't see it as a.
Now that could be the Ferris Bueller sequel, Fairest.
Yeah. Right.
Probably not. Probably not. In retrospect.
No, it's a spinoff for Fables, I guess.
Really?
I guess.
Huh. I did not know that. But then again, I haven't read, I've only been reading Walking Dead, so I haven't read Fables in forever.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna see.
A Canadian wins Uncoveted Bad Sex in Fiction Award.
I'm sorry, what?
Every year, let's see.
It's for whoever wrote like the worst.
The Literary Review's annual Bad Sex in Fiction Prize, the uncoveted prize awarded on Tuesday at a lavish ceremony in London, attended by some 400 apparently clothed literati, went to the Calgary-born novelist Nancy Houston. Or Houston, for a steamy scene in her novel Infrared, featuring a photographer, her lover, and much talk of flesh, that archaic kingdom that brings forth tears and terrors, nightmares, babies, and bedazzlements, to say nothing of a long passage that builds to a climax of undulating space.
Was her vagina bedazzled?
I don't know, Scott. Hold on. Miss Houston, who did not attend the ceremony, is only the third woman to win the prize since its founding in 1993, edging out a testosterone-heavy shortlist that included Tom Wolfe, Craig Rain, Sam Mills, two earlier Distaff side favorites, J.K. Rowling's Casual Vacancy. Oh, she was up for that. And E.L. James' 50 Shades of Grey were disqualified. Ms. Rowling's
really?
Book...
I actually read about that. They don't put
because
in...
Because it's insufficiently bad, and Mrs. James, because the rules exclude books intended as erotic or pornographic.
Oh.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. The Rowling book was intended to be erotic or pornographic?
No, that was the E.L. James.
Her sex scene wasn't considered bad enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it wasn't anything, you know... I'm trying to think where that sex scene was.
See, that's how bad it was.
That's how bad it was. You can't remember.
Well, no. Actually, no. It wasn't bad enough or you would have remembered.
Yeah.
It didn't leave an impact either way, so that's why it
didn't. yes. Whereas the 50 Shades of Grey was pretty much almost just porn in itself.
Oh, well,
Ms. Houston, who lives in Paris and writes in French before translating her own work back into English, has won plenty more conventional accolades, includes France's prestigious Prix Goncourt des Lycéens and the Prix Femina.
What was that again? Can you say that again? I didn't quite catch it.
Prix. There you go. Prix Femina.
Wait, what was that again?
Prix Femina?
Well, I don't know. Do you pronounce? You don't pronounce the X in P R I X, right? It's pre, right?
Yeah.
Prefemina.
Yes.
That's one of the accolades. In a statement read at Monday's ceremony, Ms. Houston, who is married to the philosopher Todorov, took the honor in stride, saying, "I hope this prize will incite thousands of British women to take close-up photos of their lovers' bodies in all states of array and disarray." Recent winners include David Gutterson, Jonathan Littell, and John Updike, who in 2008 was given a special Lifetime Achievement Award for bad scenes.
Wow.
Well, don't forget in what was it? In Life of Garp, that's when that whole accident, wasn't it the accident?
Oh, God.
We men of the world would like you never to bring that up again.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. For those of us who aren't familiar, what happened?
No,
nothing.
Read the book.
Was something snipped off?
Blower alert.
Oh!
Just, you know.
Is this as bad as Serpent of the Rainbow?
Yeah. I would say yeah.
Because
yeah.
I reviewed that for the site, and that was a hard scene to watch.
Whoa.
Although the movie was kind of hard to watch, but that was particularly bad.
You were hard while you watched it?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
That is not physically possible.
Was it walnut?
I was not. No.
Was it walnut?
No.
What?
Don't listen back. To him. Don't listen to him. I'm so confused.
Once you listen to it again, you won't be.
You know, somehow I doubt that. I really, really doubt that. Well, here's what's hilarious. Okay, I am actually looking through upcoming books and not finding a goddamn thing worth talking about.
I know.
This is terrifying. What?
There's gotta be something.
The world is on hold for the end of the world. Okay?
I think so.
Okay, wait. Okay, so here you go. So, Rox. Here's the help me, Rox thing. What if the world ends? What can I do?
It depends on how. Is it like a quick end? We don't know if it's a quick end. Well, if it's a prolonged thing, like the whole rapture thing. Then I say go, have a vacation.
Okay.
I mean, just think. It's like, I mean, honestly, what would you do if you knew the world was at an end? I don't know how. Like, let's say you don't have to go to work.
Well, it would depend. Okay. That probably wouldn't be my first thought, but.
My first thought is like, I wouldn't have to go to work. I'm not kidding. It's like, wow, what? I guess I have to go loot a store, but I don't have to go to work.
No, wait a minute. I thought for you, looting stores was work.
That's pleasure.
No,
although I guess they
it.
Do say if you do a job that you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's right.
Like that. Yeah. So.
But that's the weird thing. You know, that is the first thing that comes to my mind. It's like, I don't have to go to work.
You know what?
I
can sleep in or go loot a store. I mean, really?
Really?
I mean, it's like when storms hit, you know, like here in Florida.
A pollen storm?
No, just, you know, like a hurricane's coming. Swear to God. Okay. One of the last hurricanes. There's a Publix down the street from me.
The University of Miami?
I'm in a grid. I'm in a grid that has a Publix to my left and a hospital right down the street. So I rarely lose power. So I went down to the Publix, you know, because it's like, oh, the storm's coming, blah, blah, blah. Everybody I met in the Publix, and I met a lot of people that knew me and stuff, everybody was gearing up for a hurricane party. Not kidding. It's like, because see, you don't have to go to work.
Sure. So you got a point.
Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Oh, please tell us you have something.
So, Rob, what is your first thought when you find out the world is about to end?
Did everyone buy a bean?
An even more limited edition than we first thought.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, I mean, what better way to go than to read a copy of Derelict as, you know, people are exploding and stuff around you. I mean, really, at the end of the day.
Or the end of the world.
But actually, you know what? If it came down to a choice of if the world ending meant that no one would listen to a No Doubt record or Justin Bieber ever again, I'm cool with that.
I appreciate your sense of sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, it's next week, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's nothing on TV. There's nothing on TV. There's nothing in the real news.
Can we make Al Roker cover the end of the world? Because that would be pretty great.
That would be fun.
He's not?
And then we would actually make Matt Lauer stick the script. You're like, Matt, I'm sorry that people are dying around you, but you have the script to read. You can't run anywhere.
See, people like that, they always have a job to go to. We don't have to, you know, as a printer, who's going to want printing?
Now, if it's a post-rapture world, maybe they want to, you know, spread the good news so that they can, you know, save souls and shit, whatever they do.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, my God. Hey, can you make these tracks up for me? No. Sorry.
Dude, I've got like an orgy in like half an hour, so not really. Don't have time.
Now, when you schedule an orgy, Scott, how do you do it? Do you do it through like IM? Do you do it instant message? Do you do it through Twitter? What is the best way of notifying that an orgy is to take place?
I think he uses Grindr.
Just so I know, so I can talk about this on Help Me Rocks, which if you want to call in for next week, we will be live at 404-382-0769. Please send us. I will have a co-host, and that will be Mighty Bill of Kinky and the Geek.
And it could be your last chance to talk to get help before the apocalypse.
Yes, that's right. We can
or
help
if
out.
You need that gift in case the apocalypse doesn't happen. She can help you pick out a gift.
You know, these things are closely related anyway. You should do like the Catholic Church does when they elect a pope. And when it's time for the orgy, you could just send a smoke of like pink smoke into the air.
Nice.
Dude, people have smartphones. That's what you do now.
Again, Grindr, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, Grindr, with the apocalypse,
you know,
smoke signals
like that. What?
Are the new. So, with the apocalypse, smoke signals will be the new smartphones.
Hey, have you downloaded the new Weather Channel smoke onto your smoke?
On your clay tablet?
onto your campfire? It's amazing. Oh, that's it. The Google Smoke Shop. There you go.
I think this is more a topic for Serve than me.
Well, at least I didn't refer to it as a head shop.
But I could use some crystal meth.
Oh, no. It's not getting
into
that again.
Finally, you use it.
Oh, no. He's been using it. Never mind. So Rob, do you have news about a film that you can legally tell us about?
Well, I can because this is going to come out on Friday, which means it's past the release date.
There you go.
So, yeah. So what's funny is with The Hobbit and sometimes with these screenings, you have to, as part of your condition to going to the press screenings, you have to agree not to Facebook, Twitter, or make any sort of commenting about the film until it's been out.
Right.
So with Hobbit, it was like, sign this in, it was like, almost like Lucasin, you know, sign this in, fill it out, where's, do your mother live so we can sit next to her politely while you not do any of this, you know? So, it's been tricky because it's sort of like, you know, you can't really talk about the Hobbit, but you sort of want to go online and say, I just saw the Hobbit, you know? What was funny for the screening, it was at 10 in the morning on a Thursday of last week. And I highly recommend not getting up and being in an empty movie theater at 10 in the morning because it's one of the saddest places in the world. But somehow the theater had ended up putting the press screening on Fandango. So there were people there. And the rep's like, excuse me, can I help? He's like, yeah, we're here for the screening. He's like, who are you with? And we're like, and the people are like, oh, we bought tickets. And he's like, that you can, it's a press screening. And the guy was like really resistant. So it turned out that they showed him the tickets and then it was like, uh-oh. And so they had to solve that, which was really fun. But as for the movie, you know, I'm going to see it in 2D instead of 3D because when I looked at it in 3D, it was like a friggin' Ren Faire. You know, it's like that new technology thing on it is really weird. I mean, the motion looks kind of cool, but it looks sort of like a play, or it looks like the PBS version of The Hobbit, because it's so real. I mean, the problem is you can actually see, like with some of the elves, for example, you can actually see where the ear makeup ends and the ear starts because the picture is so clear. So you lose, I mean, even though you get a richer picture, you see everything. So I'm not necessarily sure the technology is befitting that. And I'm interested sort of to see what other people think because I'm probably just bitching. So, but as a movie, a couple quick things, and I'm not being biased because he's our good friend. I will say this, and I completely mean it, completely devoid of the fact that we all love Sylvester McCoy damn near steals the movie. He's really funny in it. The one thing that they let him do is they let him go back to doing the slapstick sort of comedy that he cut his teeth doing.
Did he have spoons?
Great. No, he did not have spoons. But, you know, no one has ever worn bird shit quite like Sylvester McCoy. So,
I don't know, have you seen Scott?
Amy Cohen is great in it. And I'm not going to give too much away, but some of the stuff they do, the scenes with Gollum are great. There's a couple of times where they rip off the Lord of the Rings movies shot for shot, which is kind of like cool, but at the same time, come on, do something different. And I'm forgetting his name. Richard Armitage, who was in Vicar's Diddley, who's in it. You know, it's Armitage, right? Yeah. And he's in Robin Hood. He's really, really good in it. The cast in it is really, really solid. And James Nesbitt, for example, is like almost unrecognizable as James Nesbitt. And so the casting on it was pretty okay. It's obviously it's long. If you have to sort of more so than the Lord of the Rings films, be a little more immersed in the mythology of the books and the series to get some of the stuff they're talking about. But what's really cool is they will go to places in the movie that you know later when you see them in the Lord of the Rings trilogy get absolutely trashed or they've gone to hell. But this is what they look like before that. And the sets look almost exactly the same digitally, you know, but just nicer. And it's like their attention to detail with that on it was awesome. The dragon, badass. And where they ended it, I thought the point – They didn't fall prey to what Lincoln did, and that when they ended it, they picked and I think they learned from Return of the King. When they ended it, they had an ending that kind of made sense. They didn't have an ending and then do the three ending scenes after that. So that end of it was pretty good.
Huh.
So
you think if you see it in 2D, do you think it's going to? Are you going to be happy with it as a film? I mean, are you overall pleased?
Well, I'm happy with it as a film. It's just that I spent the first 25 to 30 minutes looking at it, trying to sort of adjust to the way it looked. It was almost almost distracting. And I've seen stuff in high def and I've seen stuff in 3D and it's just kind of weird. And there's a great article in Salon called Why does, The Hobbit looks so weird, you know, And it might just be, you know, this is probably what people in 1939 felt like when they saw color, you know? So I'm a little reluctant to completely slam the movie or hate it because they're using a technology that's new and innovative, you know? You know, after a while, you sort of forget with it and you roll with it. I mean, Martin Freeman's great in it. The acting is good in it. It's a perfectly solid film. It just looks kind of strange. It looks so different than the other three films. And, that end of it is kind of a little jarring. But, you know, as an ensemble, you know, the cast is great. They added a whole bunch of stuff to sort of tie the other films together, some of which works, some of which doesn't. And, I have to say, and Rox brought this up a couple months ago, it may be the best of the soundtracks they've ever done for a Lord of the Rings film. There's just something about the music that just makes it really solid, much more than in this one, than the other ones. This one has much more humor than the other three had, which I think sort of happens in the book as well, but they make it a little funnier. And there's certain, you find out, you get a little more backstory with Gandalf in it. His scenes are great. There's a scene with Gandalf and a particular other actor that are awesome. And, the scenes with McCoy and McKellen are great because you totally know that, like, they're quietly laughing to themselves all the way to the bank, you know, that they're like, oh my God, we have to be in this movie, you know, so that part of it's pretty cool. McCoy is almost unrecognizable at first. And, you have to, but, you know, when I saw it, Radigan the Brown is exactly how I thought Radigan the Brown was going to kind of be. In the same way that when I saw the first Lord of the Rings films, Ian McKellen made Gandalf be sort of how I imagined him to be. And that kind of works. And, you know, Martin Freeman makes a really good Bilbo. I can't complain about it at all. He's really, really good in it. But it's kind of like he's not the central character in the movie all the time, which I also thought was nice. They very much made it an ensemble film, and I don't think people expect that necessarily. So, having said that, there you go. But, Wiz, I'm interested to see your way home on it, just to sort of see. I hope I'm wrong, and it's just adapt to a technology and move on. I really hope that's what it is. You know, it wasn't Prometheus, like jarring like Prometheus was, where you just go and you're utterly shattered, but it was just weirder, you know. So, kind of like when they realized the Spaff House had electricity, kind of like that.
I know, it's so weird.
Wasn't that a special episode of Spaff House?
Yeah, that was the one where you found out that Spaz House grew the wiring rather than had it installed.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was awesome.
The other thing I saw was Friday. I saw Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Which I have to say is probably one of the most unsettling and uncomfortable times I've had watching a film. Which is not necessarily a bad thing. First of all, Christoph Waltz is awesome. You know, anyone who thinks he didn't earn that Oscar last time, you know, he's amazing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've always thought he was amazing, but in this, he's particularly amazing. I mean, you have Leonardo DiCaprio, you have Jamie Foxx, you have all these heavy hitters, and he steals the movie again. Part of the thing is the movie is set in 1863, and you just have to be prepared. They talk like it's 1863.
Ah.
So, it is sort of like, you know, it's kind of like the first time you saw Reservoir Dogs and you're like, are they going to get away with that? Because I got to tell you, man, it's pretty brutal. I mean, it's a really good movie. It's a really brutal movie, but it just sort of makes us, you know, it's set in 1863, confront every fucked up social aspect that our culture has sort of been running away from. In terms of like class, social status, slavery, all that, it sort of just gets right in your face. And if you are not comfortable with hearing the N-word, do not go to the movie. So, but it's very unsettling, which in many ways is the quality of a good film. It's unsettling in like saying sometimes when you see Clockwork Orange. And you're sort of unsettled by that, sort of. It's kind of like that. It's just like, it kind of like hits this sort of raw emotional nerve with you. It didn't really do it with Jackie Brown. He probably, Tarantino probably has, he did it a little bit with Inglourious Bastards, but he really did it with, Reservoir Dogs. So, I would still go see it. I don't know if I'd see it on Christmas, because unless you're like me and that's your
well, there's nothing else out.
Oh, well, you could go see the other uplifting, film, Oh, Les Mis. Oh, wait, never mind.
Well, yeah, no, don't get me going on that.
Oh, really?
So, oh, yeah, yes, we do. We want you to go.
I didn't hate it.
Wow.
I have two specific problems with it. One, I don't particularly like it to begin with. So okay. I didn't really like
the
musical.
Dead to me now, then.
So I like the book. I just didn't like the music. Oh, every
being
musical
a theater.
No, the thing is with Les Mis, when I've seen great productions of it that weren't like official big theatrical big budget productions of it that were really good. And Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman are incredible in it. It just sort of, these sort of like films based on musicals now sort of have a pattern they all follow now, and it kind of falls into that. I think it's going to get nominated for Best Picture, and it may win. I think it's a three-horse race now. I think it's Les Mis, Lincoln, and Zero Dark Thirty. If you like musicals, it's great. And I don't hate musicals. It's just Les Mis has sort of always been like Cats, where they club you over the head with it so much that you're just sort of like, enough. But I have to say, the costumes are great. Anne Hathaway, much like, you know, people when they saw Batman, didn't think she was going to be great in Batman. You know, it's almost unfair that she has to keep proving herself with every role that she does. But literally, when you think about Les Mis, and then you think about Batman, and then you think about the one movie she got nominated for the Oscar for, where she was the kind of psycho girl that went back home. I forgot what the hell it's called. But she has to kind of keep reinventing herself with all these roles, and people aren't really giving her credit for being a great actress. But she's great in it, and Hugh Jackman's really great in it. It just sort of has this sort of like, sort of, hey, it's a musical, it's cute, you're going to love it sort of thing to it that I didn't necessarily love. And I think this is the year of the long movie. So if you're a big fan of big epics, if you're a fan of costumes, you'll like it. If you like, there's a couple of things they changed, which, you know, it's fine, you'll live with it. But
they
people
don't
that
steal
are
any
really
bread.
Fond of the musical, you know, people that are like wanting to see the musical verbatim as it was on stage, on screen, you're gonna notice a couple things. It's okay. But having said that, you know, it's not, to me, the biggest problem with this film is this comes out the same year as Lord of the Rings and Lincoln and like a couple other films. Or Hobbit and Lord and, Lincoln. But it's everything you want a musical to be. It's a big costumed spectacle. But it's sort of like, okay, I've seen Chicago, done. I've seen this other, all these other sort of big drama, big actor things done. And it's sort of, there's a pattern to it, you know? And that's the only complaint I can really find. The complaint with Les Mis is probably more of my personal taste than flaws in the filmmaking. So there you go. I think most people would really like it. I would have no problem, you know, like, I'll probably have to see it again because Janet will want to see it, and I'm fine with doing that. But again, Anne Hathaway is really amazing. And the neatest thing I can say about it is, you know, I've always thought that Hugh Jackman was sort of this like probably great, great actor that no one sort of appreciated. And people have a much different opinion of him. And I've never gotten to see him do a lot of stage stuff. Like, I've always heard he's done stage stuff. But when you see this now, you're like, okay, I get why people put this guy in musicals. So,
oh, yeah, because, I mean, that's where he got started. I mean, what was it? Image Entertainment just put out the Oklahoma that he was in,
which is supposed to be amazing, you know. But
it is good,
you know. And I like Oklahoma. I mean, it's a good musical done well. It just depends if you like musicals done as films. That's your preference, you know.
I understand the wind comes whipping down the plane in Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, what now?
Nothing. Moving on.
It's not as bad as the furry with the singe on top.
Yeah.
So. Are we really talking about furries? Do we descend to that level?
Yeah. No, I was talking about musicals. I don't know what you're talking about.
Although I have to say, having Ian McKellen in Doctor Who is pretty badass.
Yeah.
What's he doing in Doctor Who?
In the Snowman episode that's coming up, he's the voice of the Snowman.
Nice.
And the fact is, like, again, like the thing with Oswin, the people that saw the screening and everything kept it quiet. So this is the second time now that they've had this huge major reveal that is completely, the press completely shut down and played along.
Wow, that's rare. How do they do that?
I don't know.
Because they don't want a Dalek showing up on their front step.
A Dalek?
No, but still, I mean, it's pretty incredible that they got the shutdown. So the fact, I'm not surprised that they got Ian McKellen. I'm surprised that people kept their mouths shut that long.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Know?
So that's going to be... I'm actually now very much looking forward to the Doctor Who Christmas special. So that was our segue from Les Mis into Doctor Who. But yeah.
So how long until the Doctor Who musical episode?
Please don't. It's been painful.
A Dalek chorus line.
No, there's a lot of amateur shows that people have staged in different parts of England where they do like a musical of like a classic Doctor Who story, but they don't need to do that.
Seriously, you take classic Doctor Who and make it into a musical?
Yeah, like they're a stage play, they'll do it as a musical. Yeah, they'll do all kinds of fun things with it.
Wow. So,
yeah. Now, if you've got, they've had Aliens on Ice, so I think if they did like a classic Doctor Who on ice, that would be amusing.
Yeah, well, they've got the touring Batman thing right now too.
What?
There's a touring Batman production. It's like a big scale theater Batman thing that's making the rounds. I'll send you the link because it's in St. Louis, and I didn't get to see it, but it's like a big production of like Batman, that, you know, like sort of like the Ringling Brothers. You know how like they have those big theater things where you bring the kids and you go, and they have a production of like a live action production based on like a movie or a circus or something. It's like that, but it's Batman.
Oh my God.
Oh, which?
Yeah. Yes, what? Scott.
What if they did? What if Cirque du Soleil were given Batman to work with? I mean, think about all the acrobatics. I know. I don't know what the hell I was saying. The acrobatics. They could really do the rappelling from rooftop to rooftop.
I think what you do is you basically, just like they did with the Beatles Love musical, where they got they did sort of slight remakes, remixes of the songs for the Love soundtrack. You get the Prince Batman soundtrack album and do remixes of that for the Cirque du Soleil Batman show. I mean, come on, don't you want to see Arms of Orion remixed and like people on trapezes like flying around and like, you know, the bat signal? You don't? I mean, Rob, let me just ask you this. Who's going to stop 200 balloons? Honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, I know it hurts me too.
Hey, Rob. Rob.
I'm just trying to get Cirque du Soleil to Unite of a Thousand Fists,
Rob,
but they won't do it.
All right.
Rob, who do you trust?
Oh.
Well, let me think.
Well, listen. All I got to say is this. And this speaks to the heart of our criminal justice system, okay? Is that if a man is considered guilty for what goes on in his mind, then really, you should just give me the electric chair for all my future crimes, right? And that's a Minority Report reference waiting to happen.
So Lee's not on the call, but we'll let her know so she can get all excited.
Yeah.
That Bin Laden movie that's coming out.
What, Zero Dark Thirty?
Yes. There's a particular actor who is in it for one scene.
Bin Laden?
No, Barrowman.
Oh.
Oh.
He plays Bin Laden?
No.
Oh.
But, no, he's a...
It seems like weird casting.
He's got one scene in an elevator, you know, and you watch it, and you're like...
Is he naked?
Okay. No, but the thing is, John Barrowman is just being... He's acting. He's got a normal, sort of ordinary scene, and you're like, that's it? There's no sex references. There's no weird smirk. There's nothing.
There's no jazz hands.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he is playing Abu Hamza, so.
Jesus.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, don't lie.
Now, Rob,
Now, Rob, have you seen Zero Dark 30?
No, that's tomorrow.
Okay. Because I'm actually looking forward to that.
I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
But then I kept hearing so much amazing stuff about it.
Well, me too. I mean, I was just like, okay, whatever. It's Bin Laden movie. But then
my fear was it was going to be like, I don't want to go and hear propaganda for 2 hours. You know? But then I heard Catherine Bigelow's doing it, and Kurt Locker was so amazing. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll see it. And then I keep hearing little bitty things about it.
And the cast is really good.
The cast is really good, and it's sort of this little movie that keeps, but it's just sort of like this movie that just keeps getting word of mouth, just like Kurt Locker did. So.
And we get to see Mark Strong in a role where he's not, evil.
I was really looking forward to seeing him in that because I think Mark Strong generally is a really great actor.
Oh, he is.
Unless you're like, an Anglophile who loves all that sort of stuff, I don't think a lot of people appreciated him as an actor until Tinker Tailor.
Yes. Agreed.
On a large scale, but he's just, really, really great actor. He's one of those people I would love to actually see them. I know it's another villain role, but I would love to see him be the master.
Hmm.
You know, but that's just me. Or I'd like to see him be like a villain in Luther, you know, like a psychopath.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll send you that list. When I was bored the other day, I made a list of like, people I want to be villains in Luther.
It's a long list, I'm sure, because I can think of several.
Yeah.
See, the trick is actually what I would like to see is I would like to see a bunch of people who normally play villains not, and then a bunch of people who don't get to play villains play villains. Because that can be cool. I mean, because like one of the few things about Drive that was any good was Albert Brooks. And you just go, holy shit, that was Albert Brooks.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. He did a reprieve of all the other stuff I never liked about him. He was awesome. Yeah.
He was fucking scary.
Yes, he freaking
was. I don't usually like him in movies.
No, I don't either. But man, he sold me on that film because they built it up that Ron Perlman was the badass. And then you turn around and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's Rox's Spaz House saying that. So,
yeah, that was some mighty fine writing on that part.
Well, there you go. That's some stuff we have. We actually have some movies to look forward to. Thank you, Rob, for saving us with actual information. It was so bad. Scott was rifling through old fortune cookie fortunes.
Nice.
I know.
The jury's still out on Killing Me Softly. I don't know if I want to see that or not yet.
I actually do, simply because I like the idea of Brad Pitt and, and Gandolfini, and also Richard, what's his name?
Dreyfuss?
No!
Oh, Richard Jenkins?
Yes, thank you. Fuck, I couldn't think of his name.
From amazing actor.
Cabin in the Woods, yeah.
Here's something we could look forward to. Portlandia has a holiday preview. There's a holiday episode on IFC December 14th, 10:30, Portlandia.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yes.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
And Roxy's been there, right?
Portland?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that everything that they say in that damn show is actually true.
Well, we know people in Portland, and they kind of agree.
Yeah.
We have people in Portland, and they say, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That and that, you know, people are really fucking nice in Bridges, here in Portland.
The Portland Comic-Con people are all amazingly nice people so far.
Mm-hmm.
That I've dealt with, so.
All right.
And the average people in Portland are great, for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right, so we should probably stride purposely towards recommendations, since hopefully we have some stuff to actually recommend. Gotta help.
Did I miss anything else exciting?
Let me see. Obvious answer, no. We talked about
meth addiction. We talked about Kevin Costner's box. We talked about pissing up a wall in Tallahassee. We talked about Benedict Cumberbatch in Star Trek. We talked about Johnny Depp's career.
You know, I didn't get to see the Trek trailer because they didn't show the 5 minutes of Star Trek beforehand.
Oh, right. No, I thought it was like 9 minutes. Isn't it supposed to be like the first nine minutes?
Whatever. They didn't show that.
Bastards. We talked about Kevin Smith's new Lovecraft project.
What?
We made it up. And Rocks took Jack the Giant Slayer to task for bad form.
Yeah.
Real bad. Yep. So no, that's about it.
If anyone's going to make a Beanstalk movie and straighten it out, it would be Rocks.
It would have to be a different take on it. I don't buy this Jack guy. Just don't.
That's great. I'm not buying. I'm not believing you for a second, Mister.
No.
Fuck you.
You buy magic beans. Let's move along. Just let's move along.
All right. So recommendations then. Who wants to go first?
Scott does.
Scott, go!
I always go first. Someone else go first.
No, you were nominated. You've been pushed forward. Go!
Over the cliff.
All right. I've got a couple of books that, yes, I have read.
Wow.
Well, wait, which? I will also say Scott should go first.
Okay, good job.
Which, do you remember how you talked about when you first discovered MySpace?
Hey, Widge.
Yeah?
I still think Scott should go first.
Well, then it's unanimous.
Okay.
Where was I? You remember how you used to talk about how you found music on Napster and it just led you to, like, buy more music?
Yes.
I think I'm having that problem with Kindle. I'm like looking through Kindle. It's like, oh, this looks interesting. And then it leads me to other people. And yeah, I need to watch that because I found a couple books on Kindle that were actually really good. And it's like, oh, maybe I should look up more of this author. And it's like, whoa, because it's on Amazon. It has that one click and you don't really pay attention to how much you're spending.
That's why you turn that shit off.
I know. I need to turn that shit off. You're absolutely right. I really do. Okay. First book is called I Am Not a Serial Killer by Dan Wells. Let that sink in. Essentially, it's about a young man in a small town who is struggling with his problems being a psychopath. He hasn't killed anybody yet, but he knows he has that potential, so he's trying to be careful. You know, trying not to do anything wrong, but he's like really fascinated with serial killers, and he has like these little rules, kind of like Dexter, that he follows so he doesn't like, you know, cause any trouble. But then a serial killer starts happening in his town, and he's like, oh, this is interesting. And he starts looking into it, and he finds out it's something worse than a serial killer, and I will leave it at that.
Well, someone's at the door.
Yeah, don't answer it.
It's the serial killer.
If you do, just make sure you let the right one in.
Yeah. What's nice about it is, you know, it's a weird mix of, like, you know, the typical teenage, you know, coming of age, trying to find their place in the world with, you know, a budding serial killer. And then, you know, weird shit starts happening. So it's really, it actually was a very interesting read. The next one is called 14 by Peter Kleins, and it is about a guy in L.A. He's kind of like that 30-something, hasn't really found what he wants to do, so he subsists on, like, you know, low-paying jobs, and he's looking for a place to stay in L.A., and he hears about a place that has really low rent, which should have been his first clue. So he moves into this really old building in the middle of L.A. and starts discovering little weird shit. And then the little weird shit starts piling up into sort of medium weird shit. And then there's just, like, the weird shit starts, like, becoming life-threatening. And I can't really reveal more without, like, ruining the book. But it had a really nice pace, you know, all the little weird things that start piling up. And then you start finding, like, it keeps building up to even weirder and weirder things. And it really was a very interesting read. So those two books of strange weirdness and horror and death and mayhem, you know, the usual, something for the holidays. And that's it for me. Done. Dong.
Are we so far behind time that he can't do Rock Lobster?
Oh, we did it already.
Oh, that's okay. Never mind. Sorry.
Rock Lobster!
Boys in bikini.
Oh, shit!
Girls in sharp bar.
Remix!
What the fuck was that?
Hmm?
What?
What?
All right, so who's next?
Anticipation. It makes it...
I'll go.
Because
it's half-assed, really. Okay, so I was up in New York, and, you know, you're stuck with your family, so you bring your Kindle Nook whatever because you want something to entertain yourself. So I started to read, and this is jumping onto why you need to look into certain books and stuff. I started to read John Lehrer's Imagine book. And there was something really strange. I got to the chapter where he's talking about Bob Dylan. And basically the book is, you know, how imagination works and creativity. And there was just, oddly enough, I got to the point, I just didn't really like the way he was writing some of his anecdotes. So I'm like typing in this guy to see what kind of reviews there were. And lo and behold, I found where he made up quotes about Bob Dylan. This was back in July. Yeah. So apparently Houghton Mifflin, which was the publisher of this book, gave refunds for anybody that bought this book. Got it from, you know, anyway. here's a guy who's doing a research book and makes up quotes about one of the most leading musicians that a lot of people like to, you know, analyze and, you know, do research on, which is Bob Dylan, because he spans decades. You know, last person you want to like misquote or make up crap, it's somebody like that. So it, you know, people read reviews. I brought this up with the whole Ricky Jay and fooling Houdini thing. So there's a reason. I know sometimes we all hate movie critics and stuff, but, you know, read a couple reviews if you're going to, you know, just don't blindly go and pick up a book just because you like the cover and stuff. You know, look up some of the reviews, especially as Scott noted that if you have the auto click, it'll save you money about reading reviews. So with that note, I just sort of went back to, I started reading the next of the Jasper Ford Thursday Next series, which is the first among sequels, which takes place. She's now an older Thursday. She's in her 50s. She's got now her first kid. Friday is actually a sullen 16-year-old, of which she tries to push into the Chrono Guard, which are the people who guard time, because apparently he has saved her any number of times. So she's trying to make sure that he doesn't go into being in a horrible band and stuff. So these are funny. They're all history. They're an alternate history type of thing. It's now taking sort of, or the original story of the Air Affair took place in like the 80s. That's like alt history.
84.
Now 84, correct. And now it's like in the 2000s. So yeah, it is kind of history. They're funny. There's a lot of play on words and stuff. So he's always, always entertaining. There's a lot of us who are fans of Jasper Ford's.
Yes.
If you're looking for holiday music, Boing Boing always points out to the Santastic on the web They produce a lot of mashup songs and stuff. One of my favorite is Cheeky Boy, who they'll do like a ton of mashup songs, and the Santastic series, which is like 1 through 5, you can download. They're fun. A lot of remix with, let's see, what have I got? You know, a lot of holiday tunes with upbeat stuff. If you're sort of bored of the whole, you know, Tony Bennett and that crew, check out the Santastic Holiday or Santastic Five with, let's see, what is that one? Like Hip Hop Christmas, Billy Squire versus Johnny Cash, you know, and then of course there's always one or two dreidel songs that are remixed because it is Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah, everybody. And with that, I am done.
I'm looking forward to the Gwar Silver Bells mashup.
Oh yeah. With Karen Carpenter.
Wow.
Smashed up or
singing?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Ho, 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 ho.
All right, Rob, what have you got?
Nothing since Karen Carpenter has been summoned.
She'll do that.
Yeah, thanks. You know, although I would say if anyone...
Hey, I did listen to one of her songs today, so... It was a mashup Christmas song.
Okay. All right. I don't have to get more therapy for you. Okay. Wow. Okay, I'm going to start with, I don't know where to start with that. I'm going to start with this sort of funny, weird little movie I've discovered completely by accident. Well, two of them, actually. The first one is a Christmas-themed movie called We're No Angels, not the one with Robert De Niro, but the original one, which was done in the 50s, with Humphrey Bogart and Peter Ustinov.
And
the incredibly brilliant and overlooked Leo G. Carroll.
Yeah, and
where there's three convicts that come across this shopkeeper. Basil Rathbone's also in it. He's great. They come across this shopkeeper whose store is just a mess, and his relatives have beaten down his neck, and basically he just gets him. He's like an emotional whipping boy for his family, and they just very slowly go from being convicts into sort of these reformed people that sort of are deciding that they're gonna help this guy out through good deeds and helping him out, and everybody lives happily ever after type movies. But
so that sounds like the plot of the Thunderbolts.
But there's a weird dynamic between seeing Peter Ustinov work with Humphrey Bogart, you know.
Yeah.
And then you throw Basil Rathbone into it too. It's a really interesting blend of character actors and actors. And Peter Ustinov's early films, and everyone sort of knows him later through Hercule Poirot and all that. His early films are great.
Oh, he was great in Billy Budd.
Yeah, and I think he was in he made one of the like cartoon. I think he was in Cartoon, maybe. But
He was in that Maximilian Schell Caper film.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking. Yeah, that one.
That was good.
Yeah. So I do want to recommend that. It's pretty great, actually. It was on Turner Classic the other night, and I was watching it, and it was actually really quite good. And then a movie I've completely discovered, completely by accident, but I love it. It's from 1947, and it's my ongoing quest to see every one of the Vincent Price films. And it's called The Long Night.
It's from 1947. I know that one.
It's a noir film.
Yep.
And what's interesting about it is it was made in 1947. It's got Vincent Price and a very young Barbara Bel Geddes, as well as Henry Fonda in it, and it's really, really great. People sort of always know Vincent Price as this horror work, but he sort of transcended that with doing some noir films because he was also a pretty good creepy guy in noir in terms of just how to play not quite a villain but not quite a hero, that sort of shade of gray character he could do very well, and he's really great in it, and Fonda's great in it too. So I want to recommend that, The Long Night with Vincent Price, who, if you just want to see him do something versatile and different, I do recommend that. And then I do want to recommend a CD by an interesting little band called Gospel Claws. They are from Phoenix, and I love their album title name. It's called Put Your Sunshine Away, and they sort of have that cross between the Ravenettes and the Cure. And they're just really, really an exciting and interesting band to listen to, so I want to recommend that as well. If you sort of like steel guitars and sort of like retro kind of rock stuff, then they are for you. They're pretty good. And then I'm going to recommend two things for Ridge, because I thought of him when I got them. The first is called Beyond or Synthetica Deluxe, and this is the new EP from Metric, but it's acoustic. And
yes.
I've learned to really like Metric over the years, but it's them acoustic, and it really, really works. It's five songs, and a lot of their songs just sort of reworked as acoustic records, and it's amazing. So I do recommend that. I think you can actually buy the Metric album with the EP on it as a special edition, but you can check on Amazon through the Coffee link and check that out for yourself. The other one is, I'm sure Widge knows this is out, but whenever I hear this band now, I always think of Widge. That's not these Crooked Vultures. Rage Against the Machine has reissued. You know about this, Widge?
No.
Okay. Rage Against the Machine. XX 20th Anniversary Special Edition, remastered self-titled debut album with bonus tracks, including the original demos recorded in 91, and then you get a bonus DVD on like the making of the record and things.
Wow, I see this.
It is three discs of Rage Against the Machine Madness. So I saw that and I'm like, which? So I do recommend that. Those are my two things I'm throwing out for which. And then I would be hard-pressed to remind all of you that 25 years ago this week, perhaps the single greatest contemporary Christmas song ever was released as a single, which is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues with Kirsty MacColl. But the album that it's on, If I Should Fall from Grace with God, has also been remastered and reissued. So I do want to recommend that as well. So that should cover it for me, Bing.
Cool. Thanks, Rob. All right, John, what you got?
excuse me. Buy paracord. Lots and lots of paracord for all your paracord needs. I think I recommend this. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. I purchased Gilligan's Island, the complete series collection.
What is it? Gilligan's Island, what collection?
The complete series collection.
Oh, wow.
It's one disc? It's like one collection?
Yeah, one collection. It's $32.
That's awesome.
On Amazon, and the whole first season is in the original black and white. My son's been watching it and loves it. And I completely forgot how funny it was and how, you know, it can be slightly racist as well. Their impressions of the natives is not politically correct by today's standards.
And even the episode, I think, when they find the Japanese soldier on the island.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's definitely a different sensibility from those days. However, nonetheless, it's still good fun and, for the most part, harmless humor. Check it out. $32 on Amazon.
It's only $32 for every episode of Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, the list price is $114.
What the fuck?
Now, is there any extras?
There are some that's, I haven't gone through the extras, but it's not a bunch of stuff. Let's see, the pilot episode. They have, which wasn't part of the regular series. There's some episode commentaries with Sherwood Schwartz, who created it.
Is there a commentary on the Globetrotters crossover? Because if not, they can fuck off!
and there's a documentary, sort of, you know, before the three-hour tour. Type thing. So it's it's fun. I like it. I forgot how funny the show actually is.
I have a very soft spot for Gilligan's Island because it's one of those, unlike a lot of the other Sherwood Schwartz comedy stuff, that's sort of formulaic, that cast is so pitch perfect together that if you sort of remove any one of those components, it's just great. I mean, the whole thing would collapse. It's awesome. It's some of the best work Jim Backus has ever done. Mm. And, you know, Russell Johnson is just sort of like this underappreciated great character actor.
Yeah.
If I ever met Rox's mom, I thought originally she'd be Lovie Howell, but I guess I was wrong.
No, my mom's more like Hyacinth Bouquet.
That's oh, still dear. Okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Yep. That's it. I bought it through Amazon by going to needcoffee.com/pay for the servers for needcoffee/Amazon.
Oh, please don't make me have to redirect that to needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Oh, that's what it was? Okay. I forgot
oh, yeah.
What it was.
No, okay. So, yes, John is absolutely correct. Needcoffee.com/Amazon is where you can go to Amazon through the Need Coffee Gateway. And just by doing that one simple act, you're throwing us kickbacks, and the more kickbacks we get, the more kickbacks we get.
The more people get out of jail.
Yes, the more bail money we can afford. So yes, especially during this holiday season, if you're going to buy Amazon, which if, let me just say, Amazon Prime will save your ass on last minute gifts like nobody's business. I don't even get any kickbacks for telling you to get Amazon Prime. I'm just telling you, it will save your ass. So those of you who have been doing that, and I can see you doing it, God bless all of you. And that's an atheist saying that, so that means something. For me, I would say, for my recommendation, I'm going to go with, let me pull it up here. I've got it over here. From Chronicle Books, they've just put out Imagination Illustrated, the Jim Henson Journal, which is basically, ooh. Oh yeah. Oh, this has got a lot of meat on its bones. Let me tell you. It is a bunch of,
ooh,
drawings, and not that kind of meat, Scott.
What about bones?
This is, when I say felt up, I'm talking about the fabric. But basically lots of sketches, lots of original artwork, lots of, it's Chronicle. So there's like images everywhere, taken from the Henson archives, coupled with basically the story of Henson and the stuff that he created. So it's really, really fucking cool. And I would say for anybody who is a Henson fiend, of which there are several because our audience has taste, this is actually worth checking out. It's not really a coffee table book. It's not that big, but it is a nice sturdy hardback that is full color and has illustrations like, I'm just flipping through it right now. There are a few pages where there are not several pictures and or illustrations. Oh God. John just ran off to buy it himself. He's so excited. But anyway, so yes, what? That is,
where'd I go?
That is, I don't know. I have no idea, but that is what I would recommend from Chronicle Books. It's called Imagination Illustrated, the Jim Henson Journal. It's a bunch of stuff straight from the Henson archives, and it's pretty badass. So a lot of this stuff is not, been released to the public before. So it's your friend. So yes. Well, we're getting done slightly early, which is fine because there's nothing going on in the world. The world has failed us as far as giving us fodder to complain about. I would like to say, world, this comes out on Friday. You've got until this coming Tuesday to get ready for the last Weekend Justice, the new Weekend Justice content of 2012. So get off your ass and do something. Not end or anything. I mean,
listeners, give us something to talk about.
Do something interesting. Let's put it that way. Not something evil. Because if you do something evil, Rox is just going to grade you on it. And you don't want that.
You don't want that grade.
You don't want to know what she's going to do with that red pencil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
But if you want to, tune in, listen in to Help Me Rox next week, Wednesday at 4. Call in. With anything, we've got Mighty Bill next week, so 404-382-0769. We'll take any and all questions about the end of the world, how to loot knowing that you don't have to go to work or anything the next day.
I'd like to ask Mighty Bill, if God is all powerful, can he himself make a flask that he cannot lift?
Wouldn't he just create a straw?
Ooh, good one.
Wow. Well done, problem-solving Scott.
I know. Very good.
Wow. Does he get, like, a deputy badge for Help Me Rocks?
Yes, he does.
Oh, well done.
You'll get you'll get the special mention at the end of the show for Help Me Rocks next week at 8:30. That's if I remember it.
Yes. Hey, Scott's a Help Me Rocks elf.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus. Hey.
And in the new Hobbit movie, you can see his real ears. I won't say where they are.
Or where they've been.
I think we can kind of guess, knowing me.
Just remember, wash behind them, folks.
Yeah. Oh, so, yes.
So, on that particular bombshell, which has gone off in my psyche like a bomb, and I'm definitely not calm like a bomb, I'll just say that. But I will say we've reached the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And just like every week on this podcast, we like to stand around and stare at each other for a while and eventually say the word aneurysm.
Aneurysm.
Aneurysm is? I can't follow up on that one.
I know. It's kind of hard to follow up on death. As Daffy Duck once said, it's a hell of a trick, but you can't only do it once.
Yeah. That is the best one.
Yeah.
Stop that, Scott.
Yeah, stop, Scott. Stop. How would we know if Scott turned into a zombie?
Oh.
Yeah, there's a puzzler, folks. Take that home with you.
If you have that answer, give us a call at 404-382-0769 and you'll get a special mention on Help Me Rocks and the Weekend Justice. Tell us how you think Scott would be, how we would notice that Scott's a zombie.
And the Weekend Justice?
And the Weekend Justice. Actually, no, you'll get a special mention on the Unique Geek. Next time they have a podcast.
Yeah, unfortunately, John won't read you, but...
And the Weekend Justice. Is that like
just
Batman
make sure
and the
you
Outsiders?
Just make sure you post it to the listserv.
And then I will ignore it.
There you go.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, NeedCoffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at NeedCoffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
We're talking about looting.
We're talking about looting now.